Blog Talk Radio.
Our condolences to Jerry Brown Jr.'s family and friends. And, you know, it was just a tragedy. And secondly, let me say all my best to Josh Brent and his family and friends. And I just want to say this, as someone who follows the Cowboys religiously, I did not know Jerry Brown. And I learned a lot about him in the last few days, of course. And he was just one of those practice squad players. I was just hoping to get his chance, worked hard, everybody liked him. But I didn't know much about him. But I did know who Josh Brent was. And he's a backup nose tackle, backed up Jay Ratliff. And all I got to say is everybody makes mistakes. This is a mistake of tragic proportions. More than likely, Josh Brent will never play pro football again. It's pretty much unlikely. He's already charged with intoxication manslaughter. And I don't know what kind of penalties that come up with. But, you know, it's more than likely he may never play again, or it'll be a long time before he gets the field again. But you know what? That's really not relevant at this point. What's relevant is understanding what went on here. And I'm going to just say this. This is not like what we experienced a week ago with the Kansas City Chiefs and Bill Von Belcher and the murder-suicide. This is a good kid, a good young man who made a mistake. This is just a guy, and anybody who sits out there and tries to judge needs to go take a long, hard look in the mirror, because we all have made certain mistakes in our lives, and a lot of people. This is a national problem. This is not limited to pro football. A lot of people will drink and think they're okay, and you know, they'll get in the car and then realize, or maybe not realize until something happens, that they're not okay. And to judge him on a different level because he's a pro football player just isn't fair. He made a mistake, and it's a tragic mistake. And it's one that he will pay for and he will regret. But he's not a bad person. He's not a bad guy. He didn't commit an egregious crime on that level. It was a misjudgment, and it's horrible. And he will pay the price. Well, let's keep it in perspective. Let's just keep it in perspective. And, you know, for all the people that want to criticize and say, oh, you know, you have all these programs in the NFL, call for a ride and all that. Listen, let me tell you guys something. I'm going to keep it real. When you're out with your boys and you're having a good time, having a few drinks, some of the best time is driving from point A to point B, talking, BSing, talking about girls. That's just some of the best time. And it's easy to sit back and judge after something happens. But when you're in the middle of it, you make the best decision that you can make. And he made the wrong decision. He should have called for a ride. Obviously, he was impaired, and it's unfortunate, and it cost the life of someone he cared about dearly. But let's not judge this guy unfairly because he made a mistake. It was a mistake, but this isn't like what happened last weekend. My problem is too many people are rushing to judgment based on what happened a week ago. This is nothing like that. Nothing like that. This is a good kid who made an honest mistake. It's as simple as that. He made an honest misjudgment and mistake. And anyone who comes down on him and wants to condemn him for that, you're crazy. There's something wrong with you. Because if you've never made a mistake in your life, then you go ahead and step up and judge him that way. But he made a horrible mistake, and I've seen his interviews, and I've followed some things that are going on with the Cowboys around this issue. And the guy can't even think. They asked him, you know, since the NFL hasn't done anything, we're going to look into seeing, you know, what your eligibility would be to play. And he said, can't even think about playing right now. And they said, okay, no problem. We wanted you to know. We were ready to talk to the commissioner on your behalf. You want to get in here on Sunday and, you know, kind of put that behind you and play. He said, I can't even think about playing right now. That's the kind of guy Josh Brent is. I wish him the best. He will have to pay the price. He did make a mistake, and he will have to pay for it. And certainly Jerry Brown and his family, you know, my condolences. And the last thing I'm going to say is for anyone who wants to come down on Josh Brent, listen to the interviews of Jerry Brown's mother and grandmother who say how much they love Josh Brent and how they're not mad at him and they don't hold him responsible. That just lets you know what we're dealing with here. These were family and friends, and it was just a tragedy. It was just a bad thing that happened, and let's keep it in perspective. And let's realize that football is a microcosm of the United States and what's going on in this country. And drinking and driving is happening in the country. People do it every day, all the time. And let this be a wake-up call for all of us to be very careful when we get behind the wheel, when we have a few cocktails. Guys, you got any comments? Let's start with Train. You got anything to add?
Really much, man, if anything at all. I mean, I agree with everything that you said. And the biggest picture is that I know I was watching First Take, and I believe they've had the statistic on there that between the ages of 19 to 24, that drunk, vehicular manslaughter due to drunk driving was the top, was at the top for the death rate for 19 to 24. So,
okay.
I mean, he's not the only way, he's not the only young person making a bad decision as far as drinking and getting behind the wheel. And there are plenty of people that have done it, and they're alive. But your chances, you know, are you raise the chances of an accident and hurting yourself.
You there? We got you.
Yeah. It was a lot of background, so I really could But all I was saying is that, you know, when you drink and drive, you do put yourself in a situation where you can end up hurting yourself and the people in the car with you. And like I was saying, just in the normal world, man, I mean, I understand this has a spotlight because it was, you know, a professional football player, but like you said, just on normal every day, there are people that do it. I mean, I know I've done it once, but fortunately, nothing bad happened. I won't be doing it again, but people do it. And when something bad happens, you know, it could either be the life of your own life, the life of a passenger in your car, or the life of a person in another car. So, I mean, like you said, it just should be a wake-up call, especially to young people. I don't care whether you're a professional football player, college student, or you just work at a normal everyday job. Don't drink and drive.
That's all right. K-Star, any other comments?
Just more or less, it can happen to anyone. I don't look at him as a criminal. I look at him as a guy who made a mistake that, honestly, most of us at some point make in our lives as far as drinking and driving, which isn't okay. But, it's tough to judge someone once you've probably been in that position yourself.
Yeah, exactly.
Seriously. So, you know, it's tough. I just feel for the guy. And, I know he's probably pretty bummed out and worried about his legal charges, but I guarantee you he's been much more broken up about losing his very good friend and him having to go through those demons every day of the what-if game and the hypotheticals, and it's, I feel for him. That's rough.
Yeah, it's tough. And, you know, I'm going to switch gears a little bit and just quickly touch on it. We're going to talk about the NFC East in detail. But let me just say that, to all the pundits out there, the Cowboys won. Okay, maybe it was emotion. Maybe it was destiny. But they were able to beat the Bengals in Cincinnati. And I can't tell you that nobody gave Dallas a chance to win this game. Nobody. And, you know, I'll tell you, there were players out there that I had no idea who they were, and I followed the team religiously. And I was like, who is that guy? I mean, this team is a mass unit, okay? This is a mass unit. And the fact that they were able to go out there and get stops when they needed to, come back from 9 points down to a Bengals team that's been playing at a fairly high level with A.J. Green and, the law firm, I'm tired of my team not getting any respect. Okay, I'm really tired of it. This team has played on a pretty fair level most of the year. They haven't, they're not the Patriots. They're not the Broncos or the 49ers. But on that second tier of teams, they've done it. And a few games that they let go, a Giant game, a Ravens game, and all of a sudden this team is leading the division. So I'm, and quiet as it's kept, this team's won 4 out of 5. Okay, quiet as it's kept. So I want people to back up off my Cowboys right now, because we went into Cincinnati, a playoff-caliber team, and we beat them. Call it emotion. Call it whatever you want. I don't care. That last drive, forget the last drive. The last two drives, Dez Bryant with a messed-up hand scores a winning touchdown. Then Cincinnati gets the ball, and you stop them with that mass unit. And let me just explain something to people that don't understand. I'm not trying to use injuries as an excuse. But let me just say this. Middle linebackers in the NFL, pretty much most teams the middle linebacker is in charge of calling the defense. The defensive coordinator on the side has his headset on. The middle linebacker has the communications helmet, and he calls the defense to the middle linebacker. Okay? For the Cowboys, playing a 3-4, there's two inside linebackers, Sean Lee, Bruce Carter. Sean Lee made all the calls. Sean Lee's on injury reserve. He's out. So Bruce Carter was the backup. Moved him over. He's out. Okay? So now they're like, who do we got now to make the calls? Well, let's go to our outside linebacker, Anthony Spencer. Well, Anthony Spencer has been in and out of the game. I mean, you know, so it's deeper than just who gets injured. It's what they bring to the defense. And I'm not saying it's anything more than any other team has to face, but all I'm saying is back up off my team. Just back up for a minute, okay? Because they've won 4 out of 5. People had them out. They were 3-5, and people said they're done. Put a fork in them and back up. 4 out of 5 later, they're 7-6, the same record as the Steelers coming into town. One game out of playoff contention, whether it's a wild card in the NFC or whether it's the division, one game out. Just back up off my team for a minute. That's all I got to say. All right, we're going to table that for now because we're going to talk about the NFC, and at that point I'm going to bring in Train and K-Star, and let's see who they think might win the NFC. That's the tightest division in NFL right now. Giants 8-5, Cowboys 7-6, Redskins 7-6. Who's going to win the division? 3 games to go. It's wide open. But let's roll right into T-Bonix. And I know Train's running the agenda, but I know T-Bonix is next. And let me just say this. My T-Bonix is on quarterbacking. I'm not going to talk about the Cowboys, because we're going to talk about them a little bit when we talk about the NFC East. So I want to talk about quarterbacks for a minute. And this year, this has been the year of quarterbacks. I mean, you think about it, I don't remember a year. Well, last year was the year of quarterbacks, too. But this year, it's been to another level because now we've got a multitude of rookies making an impact, right? Tannehill, Wilson, Foles, RG3, of course, Luck, right? Did I miss anybody? I think there's one more.
I mean, you can toss in Whedon. I mean, I think he's got a decent job down there. Yeah.
Okay. So we've got all that. And then, of course, we had Atlanta. We had Schaub, and we had Ryan over there in Atlanta, right? And, of course, there's Breeze and Rodgers and Roethlisberger and Eli Manning. But with all of the talk of quarterbacks, when you sit down and look at it, do we really have a change of the guard? Do we really have a new level of quarterback stepping in? I would plead to you we do not. I would plead to you that there are still two quarterbacks that are head and shoulders above everybody else right now. They are head and shoulders above the rest of the NFL. These two quarterbacks have almost 500 attempts after 13 games. And their quarterback rating with almost 500 attempts is over 104. They are both respectively throwing 64 and 68%, and they're 35 years old. I'm going to tell you at this point, Tom Brady made me eat my words. I said Tom Brady might be starting to decline. I was wrong. Tom Brady is playing at an elite level, and let me say this. I did call that game last night. I told everybody what the Patriots was going to do to the Houston Texans, and I think we saw that. But the other guy who's playing at an insane level is Peyton Manning. So my T-Bonix is simple, short, to the point. With all these emerging quarterbacks, and maybe 5 years from now, RG3, Andrew Luck, Wilson, some of these guys will be the face of the NFL, and all these other guys will be retired and waiting on their Hall of Fame induction. It may be true. But today, the top quarterbacks in the NFL right now are still Tom Brady, Peyton Manning. And the three guy, in my opinion, is still Aaron Rodgers. Okay? So before we go anointing all these rookies and all these young, you know, Cam Newtons and all these guys that ain't done anything in the NFL yet, let's not disrespect who's still getting the job done. And what made me think of this was watching Tom Brady last night. Well, now, we're going to talk about that a little bit later, but let me tell you something. When Tom Brady scrambled, 35 years old, he scrambled and got the first down. What did he do? He got up and made a very enthusiastic first down. This is a guy who's been to 5 Super Bowls.
1-3. Arguably one of the best quarterbacks to ever play the game. Probably the best quarterback of this generation, of this time period right now. I don't want to hear about RG3. He's a good quarterback, got a great future. Andrew Luck, I don't want to hear about them. Let's respect the guys that are getting it done at a high level. Patriots, 10-3. Broncos, 10-3. These guys are going to the playoffs. And don't be surprised if you don't see the Patriots and the Broncos dueling it out in the AFC Championship game, which would only bring back memories of how many times the Patriots and the Colts have played. Sometimes the more things change, the more they stay the same. With that said, I'm going to bring K-Star in and see if he has any comments on my T-Bonics.
I got to agree with you, although I did find it a little amusing that you happened to take credit for the Patriots win, yet predicting their demise earlier in the season. I like what you did.
Here we go. We ain't even telling you the show. I did not say anything about a demise. What I said, and quote me accurately, was Tom Brady might be at the beginning of a decline. That's what I said. And I also said, even at that level, he's still better than most of the NFL. But we might be seeing the beginning of a decline. And then 3 years later, I came back and said, I was wrong. Do not tell me that I didn't call that game. Train, correct me.
No,
did I not?
No, you called the game. That's the first time I said you called the game.
That's it. That's what I'm talking about. I was clear on that. I told y'all.
I wasn't surprised about this game, by the way. I mean, I know we're talking about a little bit, but I mean, when the game started beginning, I mean before it started, I mean, like, you know, 15 minutes before the players are getting on the field, I just had this bad feeling, and I said to myself, why did I pick the Texans? It's just, like, no, I just got that feeling where I was like, oh, God, this is probably going to be a blowout in New England's favor, just because you saw the look on Brady, like, just the big game experience. I was just like, oh, man. So I got to give you credit, T, for picking that. You were dead right. I was dead wrong.
But do you know why I picked them? Let me tell you. Do you remember why? What did I tell you guys? What did I tell you? Wade Phillips, everybody, I'm talking about Texans D, and J.J. Watt, and all their defense, and all that, blah, 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 blah. Wade Phillips, we had him in Dallas for 4 years. He's a great defensive mind. But I saw it too many times in Dallas. When we needed him to come through, what you saw last night is exactly what happened. That's exactly what happened. That's why.
Man, they had no clue last night. They had no clue.
That was just a good old-fashioned ass whooping. Good old-fashioned.
It was. Killed my fantasy football hope. I mean, I needed 8 points from Shane Graham, dude.
I don't even want to talk about fantasy football right now. I'm already out of it. I'm all mad at Drew Brees, man. He let Eli Manning outscore him, man, 2-1. That's why I lost. That's why I lost. If Drew had just done what he did most of the year, I'd be advancing right now. But no, he let Eli Manning outscore him 30-16. What the hell is going on here? Not happy.
Yeah. T, just in your response to your T-Bunnies, man, I just say I agree with you 100%, man. From what I see from Tom Brady last night, was just like the dude is in his prime. There's no decline. He might get off to slow starts in the season, but that's because everybody comes at the Patriots hard. Everybody wants to beat the Patriots because Tom Brady is the quarterback. And then you look on the other, in the same conference, and you look at the other guy, you look at Peyton Manning, and you see him making a comeback after not playing for an entire year. And it's just like the Broncos are the powerhouse now. It's like the Broncos of old, the Broncos of Elway days. It's no one can touch those two right now. Not the way they're playing.
It's beautiful.
Yeah.
It really is. It's masterful watching both of those two play. And it's funny because they're older now. And for a while when Peyton was out last year, we kind of forgot, I think, about Peyton Manning's mystique and even Brady's to an extent, because I think they both kind of build their own legacies. I think they help each other more than they hurt each other because they're just so great. And, you know, Aaron Rodgers is very, 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 very good. I don't know, but when I watch Peyton Manning and Tom Brady play, I just feel like I'm seeing a different level of player, even from him. And Aaron Rodgers is terrific, but it's like we sometimes forget And then just great to see with Peyton Manning back this year. And it just seems like they both elevate each other's play through the competitiveness. I mean, I know they're not squaring off against one another, but it's kind of like, you know, like a Larry Bird, a Larry Bird, Magic Johnson type of thing. It's really cool to watch.
Now, you know what I would say, the cool thing about watching Peyton Manning now versus when he was with the Colts is that, you know, a little bit of credit was taken away from Peyton Manning because he had Marvin Harrison that entire time. I mean, him and Marvin Harrison was a nasty duo. And then Reggie Wayne came in, so now he had those two very good receivers. I mean, during Tom Brady's time, his best receiver he ever had was Randy Moss, and we saw what he did with that. I mean, broke records. But now to see Peyton Manning in Denver working with, you know, his two top receivers aren't guys that he worked with before. He has no history with these guys. And yet, Demaryius Thomas and Eric Decker are just dangerous, dude. I mean, they're dangerous targets now just because of Peyton Manning. So now you understand that regardless of who this man has as a receiver, true enough, they got to have some kind of talent, but he can definitely make the receivers take it up another notch.
Let's just be honest. Okay, you're right. I thought maybe Brady was at the beginning of a decline, but I came back a few weeks later and said I was wrong. He's not. He's still at his prime. He's still as great as he's always been. I was wrong. I ain't been wrong much this year, but I was wrong about that one, and I'll admit it. But what you're saying about Peyton, Brady does the same thing. Dante Stallworth?
Yeah. Oh, my goodness.
65-yard touchdown pass.
That throw was beautiful.
Tom Brady right there. That's all Tom Brady right there.
That was 34, and he went for the throat, and it was just a dagger. It was unbelievable.
And the thing about it is, what you have to love about Brady and Manning and the elite quarterbacks is they relish this challenge. You know, all week Brady's sitting there saying 11-1, come to my house and let's see what you got. You know, you got a 35, and I'm a huge Michael Jordan fan, huge. Okay, I followed Michael Jordan. I watched every game Michael Jordan played. Okay, from college all the way through till he retired from the Wizards, okay? And that's the kind of stuff Jordan would do. Jordan would find little things to challenge himself to play at an elite level, little things to motivate himself, small little things. Guys sitting on the sideline saying, why don't you pick on somebody your own size? And then the next time he dunks on 7'3" Mel Turpin and looks at the guy in the corner and says, is that big enough for you? You know, just whatever he could find to motivate him. And I'm seeing the same thing in Brady and Manning. Brady last night sat there and said, Houston Texans, 11-1, number one seed. Yeah, not in my house. 28-0 before these guys even got on the board? Are you kidding me? On a defense that is really statistically not that good, the New England defense, and did they not look like the doggone Bears last night? I mean,
that defense is starting to play at a very high level lately.
They not look like the Bears 5 games ago. I'm sorry. They didn't look like the Bears from early in the season last night?
Let's say early in the season. Because clearly the Bears are not the Bears.
Let's be clear. I don't know who the Bears. I don't know who this damn defense is now. But from five games ago, as a football fan, you gotta love it. You gotta love it when you watch these two guys. And you know, at this point, don't be surprised to see these two teams playing each other. I don't know how the seeding's going to work out, but if the seeding works out that way, these guys right now, I don't see two better teams in the AFC right now than Denver and New England.
That's the moment. Maybe the NFL.
Yeah, they actually still have a chance to be 1-2.
Well, with Indianapolis playing Houston twice, you're absolutely right.
They still have a chance to be 1-2.
Because Houston is crap right now.
Yeah.
It's garbage. It's garbage right now. J.J. Watt is the truth, but he can't do it by himself, you know, and it's garbage right now. You know, they got Watt, they got Manning back there, former Bear. You know, they got some players, but teaming is just garbage right now. It's garbage.
Yeah. I mean, when you consider the tiebreaker, you know New England will have the tiebreaker over Houston. But Houston has the tiebreaker over Denver, so Denver has to get a better record than Houston in order to take.
Yeah, and as does New England. New England has a tiebreaker over both of them now.
Yeah.
All right. Yeah. What's next on the agenda, Dr. Train?
K-Star Soundoff.
Yeah. Yeah. So I was trying to.
Get it in, K-Star. Go ahead, man. State of the Steelers. Let us know what's up.
All right, man, the state of the Steelers, as they're laughing in the background, let me tell you something. You know what? It was a rough Sunday. A rough Sunday afternoon for me is as I sat there watching this game, and I, you know what? I just felt blindsided. I was like, what the hell is going on? Look, the Steelers played terrible. They played awful. Big Ben was rusty in the first half. We were dropping passes. And next thing I know, it was 20-3, which was already horrible enough of the situation. But then – just to make it worse, we throw a screen pass, and the ball bounces off our lineman's hip back into the end zone for a touchdown. At that point, I was like, all right, man, this is just ridiculous. What the hell is going on out there? But listen, you know what? I was wrong in assuming that Big Ben would come back in his first game and just slide the scoreboard in Pittsburgh, and that, you know, the Steelers wouldn't have a letdown. It makes sense. It's not acceptable, first and foremost. I don't want the people to think that I am making excuses for or even allowing complacency for Steelers, because I do not condone that. That is not something that they should be doing out there, especially with a wild card berth at stake. But it kind of makes sense that Big Ben playing bad the first half. The second half, he had three touchdown passes, mostly in garbage time. But I'm not worried. I'm not panicked, because this is a team in which has responded before in these situations. Luckily, the other two teams lost in this division, but we'll get to that later. So it was a god-awful day, but the Steelers still control their own destiny. They're 7-6, the playoffs, and at the end of the day, they will be in there. Now, I expect the Steelers to play better. Ben Roethlisberger tore it up in the second half. I expect to see more of that against Dallas, maybe to not of that magnitude in the second half, because it was pretty feverish. However, that offense is going to play better. We're not going to have balls bounce off the back of our offensive lineman's hips and just stupid, ridiculous stuff like that. And hopefully not five drops in one half, because we dropped a lot of big passes. But Lamar Woodley is coming back this upcoming game against Dallas, which is very huge for the pass rush, because it was largely non-existent. Credit to the San Diego Chargers. They ate up our linebackers pretty well there. But I'm not panicking. I'm worried. Don't get me wrong, but we got to play better right now in Dallas. I'm not going to panic. It's simply because the Steelers hold their cards.
K-Star.
Yeah, I'm here.
K-Star. What do you guys lost, like 3 out of 4, 4 out of 5? What is it? It's some number.
No,
like 3 out of 4. What is it?
It's 2 of the last 3. 2 of the last 3.
You sure it's only 2 out of 3? It's not 3 out of 4? You sure?
Do what?
It's not 3 out of 4? You sure you guys haven't lost 3 out of 4?
I will look this up to confirm for you, but I believe it's 2 of the past 3.
I mean, you're 7-6. You're barely holding on to a playoff spot. Your team played like crap against a team that's not going anywhere, and you have the audacity to come on and show and say you're not worried. I would be worried. I would be nervous. I mean,
3 of the last 4. You're correct.
Hey, I'm nervous, and my team
is
8-5.
I thought it was 3 out of 4. So your team's lost 3 out of 4. Your team has gone from when we talked about this a month ago. Oh, they got a cushion. Remember we said that? They won enough games early on, and they got a cushion to get into the playoffs. Not anymore. Cushion's gone, bro. And, yeah, okay,
well,
we'll get, you know, Ben's a stud. I can't, in all honesty, because I'm a football guy first, I can't down Ben Roethlisberger because he's a stud. Okay, he's the truth. Okay, but that pass in the second half to Antonio Brown that turned into a touchdown. If Tony Romo had done that, that's all you'd be talking about. I cannot let Ben off the hook for that mistake.
Okay.
That was horrible. That was terrible. That made the game 27-3 against the Chargers. Chargers in Pittsburgh. I do believe.
Yeah. I was disappointed. I sat there with disappointment. I was very disappointed.
You're gonna sit here and come on the Madden voice and say, "But I'm not worried."
No,
dude,
and here's listen. I'm. Let me rephrase. I am worried. I am worried, but I'm not pressing the panic button simply because, luckily for the Steelers, because the AFC North fallen off this past weekend. We're still where we were, you know, a week ago. But here's a situation in which Big Ben's finally Big Ben is reacquainting with the offense. So I don't expect that rust, that initial rust that plagued him in the San Diego game to be there. So don't get me wrong, they gotta play better. I'm worried about that. But I think they will be able to pick it to play back up because it's a veteran football team. We only have 3 games to do it, so something's gotta give right now.
Let me tell you something. You come into Dallas playing like that, we're gonna whoop that ass.
Oh, no, the thing is, that's not going to happen. The thing is, I want to go into Dallas playing like that. I think you know that.
How do we know? We went to Cincinnati and beat a team you couldn't beat in that stadium. What are you talking about?
We beat them. Let's rewind.
And they beat you, too.
No. We had to play Cincinnati 2 weeks from now. Actually, Roger Dallas.
I thought they beat you.
Yeah.
Okay, my bad.
We went into Cincinnati and beat a team that won four in a row. You know what? And that was the biggest highlight of my day. I went nuts. I went nuts when Dallas hit that field goal. Trust me, I was a huge Cowboys fan. You know that I was for that moment.
You're only a huge Cowboys fan because it helps you out. If it didn't help I'm not dumb. All I'm saying is that's the team that you got to come into town and play, and y'all look like crap against the 40 against the Chargers.
Wait,
if you come into Dallas looking like that, you're going to go home getting your ass kicked.
K-Star, wait. This is on the agenda. You will guys not fall. You will not spoil the agenda because I've been waiting all day to hear this. So you will
wait a minute. In all fairness, I'm responding to his state of the Steelers.
Yeah, but you're giving up good stuff, though, P.
Oh, trust me, I'm going to get him when we debate. I got him. But in the meantime, I'm letting him know. Don't talk about I'm not panicked. I'm not worried. And your team's lost.
Here's my thing. Let me chime in on this. Look, the one good thing after you guys lost that Sunday is that the Cowboys did you all a solid.
Thank you, team.
I mean, they were minutes away from locking it.
Yeah.
So I commend the Cowboys for finishing because that's how you finish a close game. You get down, you're down 2 points, you make the drive, you get in field goal range, and your kicker nails it home for you. So definitely good win for Dallas because they needed that win to keep their playoffs hope alive. It would have been a big win definitely for Cincinnati because they would have leapfrogged the Steelers after the Steelers losing. So with that, Dallas did you guys a solid, but moving forward still, man, for you guys to get Big Ben back and not to take out a Chargers team that's been playing poor all season, it's a big letdown.
How do you
come back from this letdown? Because now you're going to play against a hungry Dallas team, and then after that, you're still going to play against what I still consider is a good Bengals team. They lost a close game. I take those kind of losses. That's not a bad loss. They fought, you know what I'm saying? Cowboys fought harder. But that's still a solid Bengals team. And then you're going to end the season with a Browns team that just they're just spoiler. But they play hard to spoil everything.
Oh, we got something for Cleveland. Don't forget they beat it. That's not going to happen again.
Just saying, man.
And I get that. We got a nice little 3-game stretch. I'll say this though. We are tied with the Bengals we're actually the tiebreaker over the Bengals rather, but they still have to beat us and hope that someone else loses or beats the Steelers as well. So I mean, we still kind of hold our own cards, and that's all that you can really ask for at this point. I expect the Steelers to play better. I believe they will play better. We will see. Don't forget, only a week ago when we went in Baltimore 1 with Charlie Batch, I expect the team to play better on Ben Roethlisberger this next week. We'll get to that.
Okay. Well, the next up is Dr. Train's philosophy. And I guess I should just say state of the Bears, but really I pose it as a question is, Chicago Bears are crumbling before my eyes. I have to watch the games with Kleenex now. But and the question is, whose fault is it? I mean, what causes a team to start out 7-1 really hot? They know about to hit the rough patch of their schedule, but it's not so much that Chicago loses the games. It's just that when you watch, when I watch them play now from the beginning of the first half of the season, it just does not look like the same team. I don't know if you guys had a chance to watch some of those games in their entirety.
I did. I saw a bunch of this game.
Yeah, they don't look like the same team. The defense is definitely not as opportunistic. They're not able to create the turnovers, and even if they do, they can't get them. The offense still, I mean, the only bright spot is Brandon Marshall when Cutler's playing and when Cutler can give him the ball, but that's about it. Still struggling to get Forte into a rhythm. I mean, when you look at Forte's stats in the game, yeah, he might get, you know, maybe 70-some rushing yards and 30-some receiving yards. So it's 100-some all-purpose yards, but yet it's not significant for the game because we still end up losing. They're still yet to truly establish the run with a 1-2 punch of Matt Forte and Michael Bush. I've yet to see it all season long. And now when we need it the most, it's not happening because, I mean, we played Sunday's game without Urlacher, and yeah, Adrian Peterson reminded us on the very first play, offensive player of the game, why Urlacher is so important. He raced down the field for 50-some yards. That was, that was a dagger even at the beginning of the game. But when I look as far as who's to fault, there's a lot of bad player execution on the field. And somewhat I do look at the coaches. Really, the one coach I scrutinize more on the team would be Mike Tice because he's in control of the offense, and the offense has yet to hit a rhythm, and we're going on week 15. But even when he does send in the offensive plays, it's just the execution is poor. Even with the offensive line having its changes, with players getting injured and they have to, you know, having to put in subs, they're still able to keep Jay Cutler on his feet. For most of the game, he has to scramble, of course, to keep himself alive. But receivers are dropping the ball, you know, guys breaking off routes. It's just there's no rhythm to the offense at all. So there's a failure of execution. And then from the coach's standpoint, it's like situational football. I watched the game Sunday, and it's 3rd and 1. It's 3rd and 1. Chicago needs the first down. But Jay Cutler's in the shotgun. And the third string running back is in the game. No Michael Bush or Matt Forte for third down. No, it's the third string running back, which we've barely seen this guy all season long, but it's 3rd and 1. And the play ends up being an interception return for a touchdown. I don't understand the play call for that, especially in that situation. So, I mean.
That was a gross overthrow, though.
Yeah. Say it again.
So that was a gross overthrow, though, by Cutler. That was a bad pass.
I mean,
he was open.
It was, but I would have loved to have seen a complete. I mean, I don't think that was a good play call for that particular situation. Not with the two running backs that you have. You could at least get play action, anything other than just dropping back and passing on 3rd and 1. Minnesota wasn't playing so much out of their mind where we needed to drop back in shotgun on 3rd and 1. It was
I agree about the play call. I'm just saying that, you know, it was also bad execution.
I mean, too, that's been one of the biggest problems just with the offense all too well, especially now as of late, because these 2 weeks in a row where everybody picked Chicago to win both these games and we dropped both these games, and now I'm concerned. We're sitting at 8-5, and trust me, I'm very concerned at 8-5 because we're not even on a roller coaster. We're just on a downhill slope with the offense and the defense and the execution on both sides of the ball, and coaches in situational football. And before you know it, Chicago may be sitting at home at 9-7 because all these other teams that were 6-6 a week ago, sitting 7-6 now, they're picking up steam. I see them play. They're actually playing what I would consider playoff ball with a month left. Maybe I'm very critical of my squad, but we don't look like a playoff team right now.
Yeah, I just want to say this. I've been sitting back listening to both of you, and, you know, throughout the season, I've noticed that Dr. Train is more of a realist and K-Star's a trainer. You know, Case Price is bad. I'm not worried. I'm not worried. Your team is 7-6, barely holding on to a playoff spot, and you're not worried. Train is 8-5, and he's worried. Learn something from Dr. Train. And I just love how a month goes by. It's been a month. A month ago, my team was nowhere. The Steelers and the Bears were looking good. And I believe the Steelers have lost 3 out of 4, and I think the Bears, if I have it
four
right,
four out of five.
Yeah,
four out of five.
My research was correct. You know what I'm saying? And in the meantime, my Cowboys, 4 out of 5 wins, baby. And all I'm saying is that's the NFL. That's how it works. You know what I mean? I'm not saying my team's making the playoffs. I'm hoping, I'm praying, but who knows? But that's what I'm saying is if I'm a Steelers fan, I'm worried right now. I'm worried right now. I'm not sitting back here feeling good about my team. Benching Rashard Mendenhall.
Suspended for a game.
The way,
I was saying how Mendenhall was suspended for the game today by the Steelers for conduct and judgmental team.
That's your franchise running back right there.
Well, he hasn't been starting lately. He's kind of fallen out of favor.
I would never doubt. I like Mike Tomlin, and he did what he had to do. But I'm just saying, if I'm a fan and I hear that, yeah, I'm worried about this team. 3 games to go, 7-6. You know what I mean? There's no guarantees. You coming into Dallas, okay? And I know we're going to talk about the game, but I'm just saying, we've seen the Cowboys play, beat the Giants once, and almost beat them a second time, and a wide field goal to the left, and he would have beat the Ravens, and he just beat the Bengals. So that's no gimme, right? I believe you guys got
Not a gimme at all. I don't believe it.
Right?
I think it's going to be a tough game.
Right. And I believe you guys got the Browns, division game?
Yeah, we got the Bengals and Browns at home, back-to-back,
okay.
Right after.
All right, and the Browns, 5-8 now, and they're playing the best football they've been playing all year. They're playing for their job. They're playing some good football. And then, of course, the Bengals, you know,
four
in a row before this game. So all I'm saying is, you know, at 7-6, y'all could go home at 7-9. It could be 10-6. We don't know. But I'm just saying, if I'm a Steelers fan, I'm worried. Okay?
You know,
and then the Bears, you got the Packers coming up next week. That's a must-win right now because you're already a game behind them. You're barely, you know, you're holding on to your playoff spot, barely. That's a must-win if I'm a Chicago fan. No, this is pressure time in these cities right now, Chicago and Pittsburgh. Pressure time. That's all I'm saying.
Chicago, Pittsburgh, and Dallas, they're all pressure because everyone has.
Yeah, but we were 3-5. Hey, you know what? But we were 3-5. We were
not.
Everybody put a fork in us. We were 3-5. Hey, forget about the Cowboys. They're done. They're not going anywhere. We made pass back into because we can't.
We weren't
sitting at 7-1 like the Bears.
I hate you, and I'm not comparing our records. I'm not comparing the past. All I'm saying is for your statement to say that you know all this shit. Chicago and the Steelers should be such and such. No, that's every team now. Every team is in the playoff hunt. The next game is a must win.
But Train, when you lost 4 out of 5, it's a different feel in your franchise than when you've won 4 out of 5. That's all I'm saying. I understand that this is crunch time and every game matters, but there is something called momentum. And if you've lost 4 out of 5 and I'm a Bears fan, I'm panicking because there's no momentum. Y'all were a juggernaut a month ago. You was in the power rankings as a top 5 NFL team. Cutler was out, came back, and we all said, this is a Bears team to look out for. And now we ain't saying that. That's all I'm saying. I'm not trying to give you a hard time like I would give K-Star, because at least you're a realist. K-Star's a dreamer, but you're a realist, okay? So I'm expecting you're a realist, okay? K-Star's a dreamer. K-Star doesn't understand. 7-6.
I live the dream. I love the dreams of Steelers. Like we've responded before in situations like this. This isn't the first time the Steelers have had their backs to the wall towards the end of the season. I mean, with this quarterback and this defense and coach, so it's
wait.
You know,
it's not fun.
It's not ideal.
Trey?
Yeah.
Hey Trey, can you give me the K-Star quote from last year? Can you give it to me on?
only he does that to you when he has the
Yeah, it's nowhere to be found.
Wait. I got my iPad now. I'm driving. I got my iPad. Don't make me play it, okay? I got my iPad. I'm logged in, all right? Don't make me play it because I will play it. You understand what I'm saying?
Wait a minute. I don't want no Josh Brent going on here. Hold on. Wait, no. We don't want to do that. Oops, almost ended the show. All right, hold on. I gotta get off. See, y'all lucky I gotta get off my exit, and I can't run it right now, but I gotta get off my exit. And then I got this guy. This is what I'm talking about. We talk about people not being able to drive. I got this guy. I'm driving. I'm getting off the exit. I'm 55, driving 55. This guy is on my butt driving like I'm driving too slow, and I'm getting off the highway. Like, really? This is why we have accidents in this. This is why things happen. This is why we have tragedy. Okay, I'm driving what you should be driving when you're getting off a highway. This guy's on me like an idiot. Anyway, I'm sorry.
Okay. Sorry, I got disconnected there, so I kind of missed a minute or two. I keep getting kicked off for some reason.
Yeah, I was asking you to play the K-Star quote, but you're going to make me do it because K-Star's sitting over there in delusion land right now. Hold on, I got you. Check this out.
All right. Obviously, Steelers won this game. They're on defense, total yards and scoring, playing one of the most anemic offenses in all football. The ankle for Big Ben is a lot better than it was against San Francisco, which is definitely good news. But
exactly.
Hall, again, Mike Wallace, Antonio Brown, people look at this year for us.
I just don't see how Tim Tebow and the Broncos can match us point for point at Mile High. Again, that offense is just horrendous to begin with, and they're playing against their own defense in the league. Troy Polamalu, James Harris, Lamar Woolsey, they're coming for you, Tim Tebow. I love you, but not this Sunday. Not this time.
Yeah. That was a year ago. As K-Star was just saying, well, we've been in this position before, and we've responded. You did.
I would give K-Star this.
One little example.
All right, that's fine.
The Steelers do have somewhat of a rapport of being able to play well with their back against the wall. So if he's optimistic, I can understand. I don't have that type of optimism about Chicago because we've never been able to play well with our back up against the wall.
Okay, but let's be clear. What did we just see this weekend? Okay, that's what I'm talking about. I'm not talking about history. I'm talking about this weekend. We saw a team with their franchise quarterback come back, get their butt kicked at home. And you want to talk about a game, your back's against the wall. You just lost 2 out of 3. Your franchise quarterback is back. You're playing a team that's out of the playoffs, and they whooped you. And that's what I'm saying. My only comment on this is if I'm a Steelers fan, I'm worried. And K-Star's sitting there like, he's not worried. We'll be all right. Why? What? Where are you getting this confidence from? Your team hasn't done anything.
Because the Steelers have a big-time quarterback who wins these types of games, and Mike Tomlin is a leader in that locker room. Like, this is a veteran team. They're not, a younger, inexperienced football team where they're going to fall, pray and be a prisoner of the moment and fall into it. Like, this is a team with Super Bowl pedigree that has responded before in some situations. So I'm not pressing the panic button. I am concerned. I'm definitely concerned. But, again, look. I'll tell you this. I'd be way more concerned had the Bengals won this past game because we'd be a game best. I'm like, okay, we are definitely in a fight right now.
You're 7-6, and last year you were 12-4. You already have 6 losses and 3 games to go. I don't want to hear about your championship pedigree when you've got 6 losses with 3 games to go. You are what your record is, Bill Parcells. You're 7-6. You're barely average, just like the team that you've been blasting all, the Cowboys. You've been blasting me all year. You've been blasting Tony Romo. This team isn't that good. Romo this and Romo that. Oh, it's funny how when you come to town, we got the same record, but you're not worried. All of a sudden, you're not worried, but you got the same record as the team that you've been dogging all year because we didn't get it done. Romo leads the league in this and leads the league in that, and the team isn't very good. And why are they on Sunday Night Football? And why are they still relevant? Oh, but we got the same record. That's all I'm saying.
We won't.
That's all. Because if we're not that good,
for you.
All right, you guys will definitely get a chance to go into the game. I can't wait to participate part. Anyway, the next topic, bounty suspensions vacated. Thoughts? I didn't get a chance to read much on this. But he, yeah.
Tagliabue came out, and for those of you who didn't catch it today, Tagliabue, former NFL commissioner before Goodell, was appointed as the arbitrator of the suspensions in relation to the bounty scandal. They had all appealed, and he was the neutral party that was supposed to take a look. And he determined that while he found fault in the Chargers organization, he didn't think that it warranted player suspensions, that any fault was towards the organization for having a culture and allowing this to happen, and why fault the players. Now, mind you, that Tagliabue, as a commissioner, many of you may not remember him as a commissioner. If you do, you may only remember him as a few years. I remember him very clearly. He was much different than Roger Goodell. He did not believe in suspending players. He thought these guys are here to play football. And unless they go out and kill somebody, they're going to play football. So I am not surprised at all. I'm actually pleased with it. I said from day one when we talked about this months ago, I said there was an overreaction from the league. And why are you suspending players? If the team condoned it and I'm on the team and the team said it was okay, why does the NFL get to suspend these players? You want to suspend Peyton, Vic, the general manager, the owner, whatever? I'm with you. I'm there. But when you bring it to a player level because they were going along with what the team condoned, oh, I ain't buying that. And I'm glad Tagliabue saw it the same way. So all the suspensions are vacated. Vilma and Fujita and all these guys can play. Now, the only other thing is there's some litigation pending that they have to deal with. And there's about one more week left to deal with this bounty issue, and then it's over, and I can't wait because I'm a little bit tired of it. But I'm glad that these guys get to go make their living and play pro football.
Well, I know what's funny about it is that Vilma actually didn't want Tagliabue to be the he didn't want him to be the moderator. He wanted a different moderator. When he found out he was chosen, he wanted dude to rescind. He wanted someone else, and this guy ended up being in their favor.
Yeah, well, that's because Vilma didn't understand who he was getting. That's because Vilma thought, oh, you're just giving me another commissioner. What good is that? And he should have realized Tagliabue's history is very pro-player. And so he was, for Vilma and these guys, he was the right arbitrator. And I think he was misinformed when he protested and asked Tagliabue to recuse himself. Big mistake. You want Tagliabue. And clearly by the outcome.
Right.
That's proof.
Right. Well, I have to say, I was one in the beginning when we talked about it even last fall that I thought the players should be suspended, and I have my reasons for it, but I really don't feel either way about it. I mean, if they're able to play, great. I mean, those were some good players that were suspended, and their team has paid for the suspension. I mean, the Saints organization has dearly paid for everything that has happened with the coaches being suspended and with the players being temporarily suspended because they got off to a very slow start and weren't able to recover. So I don't feel either way about it. I'll be glad when it's over, just like you said. I'll just be glad when it's over. Okay, Carr?
Yeah. You know, I don't know how I feel about this one. I mean, it just kind of sucks, I guess, when you're commissioner of the league and there's a process been in play and you've ruled on a decision and then it's taken out of your hands. Not really a big fan of that, but I do think ultimately they got it right, which is really what's ultimately important. But I just kind of wonder, how is Goodell's ego feeling right now? Not that it really matters to the rest of us, but I'm just curious how he feels sitting back. Like, man, not only to kind of get taken on my hands a little bit here, but the old commissioner, the old guy, even as it has been, he's the one that ruled on this, and he, you know, went against me. This is ridiculous. I just think it's kind of interesting. I don't really have too much opinion on it. You know, they got the right thing. It's good and all. I just think it's kind of funny.
I think Goodell might have lost a bit of leverage in this, man.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying. Like,
I know the CBA has written up policies and things for him to take care of as commissioner, but I think he might have lost a bit of leverage when it comes to player suspension.
Yeah. We'll see, but that definitely, I'll tell you one thing, he doesn't have what he thought he had, clearly, because there's obviously a system in play that can really question his decisions, and I don't know how much he really likes that.
I did not realize you had gotten disconnected. Yeah. I'm sorry about that. I got this tender up. Yeah, you're back. Go ahead.
Okay, good. Let me just say this. This is what you call checks and balances. K-Star, this is what we have in the United States. We're not a dictatorship. We're a democracy, okay? And I don't care if you're the commissioner. Okay, but this is the United States, okay? We live in a country that we don't have dictators, okay, in any level. So there's always a system of checks and balances in this country, okay? So he's the commissioner. But he doesn't get carte blanche authority to make the final decision, and then that's it, because he's a human being. He makes mistakes too. So what you have is a system where we can go out and get an independent arbitrator that both sides agree to confirm that the commissioner was right or he was wrong. And that's what you need. You can't have – I don't give a crap how he feels. I could care less what Roger Goodell thinks. This isn't about his ego. This is about making – You're talking about players getting suspended without pay here. This is their livelihoods. So if it means that Roger Goodell gets inconvenienced, so we make sure that the decision is fair and just by an arbitrator, then so be it. He's making $10 million a year, okay? He's not losing any money, Roger Goodell. $10 million a year he's making. How many pro athletes make $10 million a year? That's all I'm saying. So he's making $10 million a year.
And that's fair. And I understand all that, but you know, it's still NFL is a business, and I just think it's interesting that Roger Goodell.
He's a commissioner.
No, he's not. But they just had a lockout, and he agreed to a lot of these things. And I just think it's interesting how, you know, I'm not saying I necessarily disagree with it, but I just think it's kind of funny how it's playing out, because it's not, these players don't have a right, an obligation to play in the NFL. It's like a privilege. I just think it's kind of funny how. It's working out.
But I don't get your point, because my point is this. If you're talking about a player's livelihood and they appeal, it goes to an arbitrator to make sure that the commissioner applied the rule correctly or not. Because we don't want a situation where we have one person that's omniscient, all power, all knowing, and nobody can double check him and overrule him. He's not God. He doesn't own the NFL. He's appointed. He is a commissioner, okay? And so I don't have a second concern about his feelings or what he thinks, because he was overturned or he was overruled. Get over it, okay? Get over it. Learn from it, and maybe next time you'll apply the rule differently. What I'm concerned about is the guys that are generating the revenue for this league, those are the guys on the field, and they deserve every consideration. Especially when you're going to implement a penalty that takes away game checks. Okay, because Goodell's getting paid either way. But Vilma and these guys, when they get suspended, they're not getting paid. So I ain't got no problem.
They agreed to this, though. Like, they agreed to all this stuff. Like, they agreed that Commissioner Goodell would still have all these powers. Like, this is something that only the Steelers actually signed off against by saying that he had too much power.
Wake up a little bit, because part of the CBA is the arbitration too. They agreed to that too. You're separating things. This is all part of the collective bargain agreement. When you have a player that gets suspended like this and a player appeals, it can go to an arbitrator. That's part of the collective bargaining agreement too. So they agreed to it, and they said, just in case, because we don't want God sitting there as commissioner, if we choose to, and the Players Association ratifies it, it can go to an arbitrator. And that's exactly what happened. So no one sat there and said, Goodell has ultimate authority. That's not going to happen. Goodell works for the NFL. Goodell works for the owners. Remember that, okay? He works for the NFL owners. So, again, I will say I got absolutely no problem. I don't care if Goodell got his feelings hurt. He'll live. He's still getting paid. But he's going to sit up there in his ivory tower and issue these suspensions and fines and penalties because of what he thinks. The guy lied to me and misled me. And then Tagliabue comes in and says, wait a minute, slow down for a minute. It's the organization that set the culture here. Why are we penalizing a player for going along with the organization set? That's their problem. They were wrong.
Yeah, and that's, again, where I'm ultimately like, well, at least they got it right, because I agree with that point. You know, it was an organization.
Well,
the player didn't follow,
right,
then that's basically insubordination. I mean,
and Tagliabue, I mean, and Goodell didn't feel that way. So thus, what happened makes sense. What happened with the system of checks and balances is what you need in any organization. And in this country, because of how we run things as a democracy, that's what you're going to find. You may not find that in other places, but you're going to find that in this country. So I got no problem with it. I'm not concerned with anybody's feelings. I'm concerned with getting it right. And I think Tagliabue got it right.
Okay. Way to go, Tagliabue. By the way, I did like when he was commissioner. I think that was a they have to redo the CBA. They have to renegotiate the CBA during the time that he was commissioner, and Gene Upshaw was in charge of the NFLPA, and they got it done. No lockouts, no anything. They got it done. That was the first time I actually followed that coverage of getting the CBA done. And I like those two because they made sure they got a deal done before the season came back around. I don't like either of these.
Tagliabue was awesome. I had some like Tagliabue.
Yeah, Smith, I forgot his first name in the deal. Completely different from Upshaw and Tagliabue. But anyway, next topic, NFC East playoff race. Who gets this division? See, this is your playground, man. Are you optimistic right now?
Yeah, I'm right here. I'm here, baby. I figure I'll let you handle this one because it's NFC East.
Well, you know, I mean, you've got the Giants at 8-5, and the Giants did a good job, and, you know, they whooped up on the Saints, and I give them credit. They did what they needed to do, and they whooped up on the Saints, and God bless them for getting that done. You know what I mean? And this is a week where actually all the NFC East teams won, which is unheard of. You know, it just doesn't happen. And so as we sit here with the tightest division in football, and I just got home, so I'm walking to my computer because if you guys hear footsteps or anything unusual, because I'm sitting here with my iPhone 5, and you know, it's one of the most sensitive phones I've ever had. I can't do anything on this phone while I'm talking to people because all I hear is, what's that noise in the background? So bear with me because I'm going to my computer right now. I have some stuff on my computer, you know, that's going to help me deal with this issue because I did just get home. I like being home. You ever just like being home? I like being home.
Yes.
So I'm not at a young lady's house, and it is a very specific young lady's house I'm speaking of. And if she's listening, she knows who she is. But anyway.
Oh, wow. That's the football, man.
Shameless drop right there. That's how I roll. So when we look at the NFC East, let's start with the Giants at 8-5. They got to go to Atlanta, go to Baltimore, and then they host Philly. Okay? And as I said last week, although I will admit – I was a little surprised at how they handled the Saints. I mean, really dominated the Saints. There was a point where the Saints made a comeback. It was 35-27, and then the Giants said, wait a minute. And the Saints couldn't seem to stop this guy named David Wilson. If they could stop David Wilson, they would have won the game. But David Wilson just, I mean, he I think he was Clark or Flash, you know, the Flash, because they couldn't catch him, couldn't stop him. And he, you know, 3 touchdowns, 400 yards on the ground, I mean, in the air, whatever. It was just pathetic. But moving on, they have to go to Atlanta. They have to go to Baltimore. And then they host Philly. We don't know what's going to happen, but we know all three of those games are going to be tough. At Atlanta, who just lost and now wants to hold on to the number one seed. At Baltimore, we know Baltimore is flailing a little bit and trying to hold on to their division. And then they host Philly, who at this point is playing for pride. Foles is playing for a job. The team has not quit. So, and it's a division game. We don't know what's going to happen, but it's going to be very interesting. And then you go to Washington, who goes to Cleveland. Cleveland's playing some pretty good football at 5-8. Then they go to Philly again, a team that Washington should beat, but Foles is trying to play for – he wants to be starter next year and hope that maybe they can get rid of Vic or trade him or whatever. I don't know what's going to happen there. But Foles is definitely playing hard. And Washington ends up playing Dallas the last game of the season. And Dallas hosts the Steelers. They host the Saints. And to be quite honest, as I sit here now, I ain't afraid of either one of these teams. And K-Star and I will get into it in a little bit. But with what I saw this weekend, I'm not afraid of the Steelers. And I am definitely not afraid of the Saints. I mean, not even a little bit. I mean, Drew Brees
now,
is
mind
true.
You mentioned the Redskins, but you also had to mention RG3 injury. And that's huge.
I expect RG3 to play. From everything that I've heard, I am not worried about whether RG3 is going to play. I am more worried about Dez Bryant right now. Dez Bryant has a finger injury. And now, mind you, he did catch a 27-yard touchdown pass with that same injury. But he's got a finger. He's got a broken finger. He saw a specialist. I guess at this point, the decision to play, he wants to play. And unless a doctor or a specialist says, you know, you really shouldn't, it's really going to be up to Dez Bryant. If it's up to Dez Bryant, he's going to play. I can tell you that right now. He's going to play. And Dez Bryant, the second half of this year, has been the complete truth. Okay, I got him in fantasy on both my teams. He's been the complete truth. When Drew Brees floundered, Dez picked up the pace. Okay, he picked up the slack. So the team needs, there's absolutely no doubt about it. The team needs Dez Bryant. I'm going to make a prediction in the NFC East right now. It's going to come down to the last game between Washington and Dallas. Just like last year with Dallas and New York in the last game, I predict the same thing. I am a little unsettled with my prediction because I didn't expect the Giants. I'm not really surprised they won. It was a winnable game for them. I'm just surprised at how they won. They dominated those Saints. You know, I mean, 52 points. And I know the Saints ain't got no D, but wow, 52 points. So the Giants aren't going to quietly go away. But, you know, they got two tough games on the road. They have to go to Atlanta and to Baltimore. I mean, those are two very difficult games. And then they host Philly. So I honestly think the last game between Washington and Dallas could very well be for either a wild card spot because we've seen, I mean, sorry, Train, but the Bears are slipping. Or it could be for the NFC East division if the Giants lose one or both of those two games. So, and the other thing to think about is, and this affects K-Star, you know, there's a lot of games between K-Star's division, I believe AFC North and the NFC East, a lot of games. And I'll tell you, those series of games are going to affect the outcomes of both those divisions. So that's something for people to keep in mind over the next 3 weeks.
Good. Well, I think the Giants will win the division, and I don't think they'll have too much of a problem doing. I look at their schedule, and they're playing, to me, they're playing better ball than both the Falcons and the Ravens, and definitely better than the Eagles. As far as the Redskins and Dallas, I think either one of those teams we'll mess around and get into the playoffs via 60 or even 50 because even with Seahawks win, you know, they still have a tough schedule going forward. They still, I believe they play. They also play 49ers. So
let me just throw one thing at you, Train, that you may be overlooking. Two of the best home teams over the last 2 years are Atlanta and Baltimore.
I got you.
Don't
I got you.
Two of the best in the NFL. home field teams are Atlanta and Baltimore. Neither of these two teams lose home over the last 2 years. So I just want to throw that out there as you say they're playing football. But just remember
that. You can throw that at me, but right now my statement, I still believe my statement, Giants are playing better ball than both those teams right now.
Okay.
Regardless of what they're playing.
Okay. You picked Houston last night too, right?
Yeah, I picked Houston. I mean, it's nice to laugh at, but I think you were the one who rode with the Saints all season long, and I'm
sure.
We got the week. And they just surely went downhill every single week, one after another, and they just fumbled last week. So,
absolutely.
I mean,
absolutely.
Houston got pummeled, but hey, they were sitting at 11-1. I mean, this is a stronger pick than taking the Saints sitting at 5-7-8 or whatever they were. So,
well, that's a matter of opinion. That picking the Saints to beat the Giants, who at this time of the year historically tank, was a weaker pick than the Patriots over the Texans, who the Patriots whooped up on 11-1 Houston. I mean, 11-1, and they whooped them like they were their kids. That it wasn't even a game. 11-1. I mean, Giants beat the Saints, who were 5-7. Okay, yep, I was wrong, absolutely. But they were a 5-17. But
okay, here's my thing. When we come to picks, man, I'll never like toss your pick back in your face because it's who you believe at that time, and you can. And we all support our picks based on how the teams have performed. So it wasn't far fetched to believe that the Saints would be the Giants, but just to talk my fist back in my face because I'm thinking that the Giants will win the division because I'm saying that the Giants are playing better ball than the Falcons and the Ravens. That's often my team, but that's what I see from my football perspective. So to just talk back at me that Houston.
I'm sorry, I can't.
No, it's not. It's not. That wasn't a challenge. That was not a challenge. That was a pie in the face. K-Star, was that not a pie in the face?
Come on, man.
But it's more of a pie in the face.
Are we men? Wait. Are we men or are
we not? We are men.
Okay, so I'm challenging.
But that's not a challenge, see?
That's what we do. I'm challenging your position. Thicken your skin up, Ronnie. Ain't personal.
Okay, you challenge my position when I chose the Giants. It's fine. But it's pie in the face to bring up something that I've already picked on and it's over and done with.
Dude, did I get upset when you just threw the Saints in my face? I said, okay.
That was only in retaliation. I'm not upset.
But I don't
care.
Trust me,
I am not. I am not upset. I am far from upset.
Then don't make it personal because I disagree with you. I'm saying I disagree with you. Why are you making it personal and acting like I'm throwing a pie in your face because I don't agree with you? That's what we do on this show. We disagree.
That's a matter of opinion. I don't feel it was a challenge, but go ahead.
Okay, how long have you known me?
It doesn't matter at this point.
Okay, dude. Thicking your skin up, bro. It wasn't personal. You don't need to make it personal when it's not. I have never, as long as I've known you, there's never been anything personal between you and I. We're talking football. And for you to go there, as many years as we've known each other, as many things that we've been through, is insulting. It is not personal. It has never been personal. It's football. We've spent, before we even been on the Madden Voice, you and I was on the phone for hours chopping up about football, talking about our teams, talking about other teams, agreeing, disagreeing, challenging each other's position. That's all I'm doing. And for you to even imply that it's personal is an insult because nothing I do on this show is personal. It's all about football. I'm challenging your position. And when you say the Giants are playing better football than these two teams, all I'm saying is remember these two teams are home and think about Matt Ryan's record at home the last 2 years and think about the Ravens' record at home 2 years. That's all I was doing.
I'm not arguing that challenge. That was a challenge. And I supported that. On some of the statement you made about me picking Houston.
When I brought it up and I said we get into the playoffs, the Patriots gonna play Houston, both of you guys laughed at me and said, no, Houston's defense, they're gonna take out the Patriots. Then we checked the schedule and I said, oh, guess what? Next week we get to find out. And both of you said I was wrong.
I don't have a right to now say, oh, what happened? When I'm wrong, and y'all throw it in my face, I sit here and take it like a man.
We made our picks. It wasn't a matter of right and wrong. I think at the end of that whole conversation, we stated that, hey, we'll see which team is better at this point, because we were talking about our power rankings at the time. So we said at that time we don't see who's better because they play in 2 weeks. It wasn't a matter of you were right or we were wrong.
Hold up, no. It was you guys were going for Houston and I was going for New England. Let's be clear.
Okay,
it
but
is
that's
about
not a matter of right and wrong. That's just a matter of picking. That's a matter of making your pick based on the fact that you think this team will win over that team.
Okay, but it wasn't personal. I just threw it up because you were wrong. It wasn't about you being bad at making picks or anything. Don't take it personal. It's just ridiculous for you to turn this into something personal because we don't agree. That don't make any sense. Nothing I've ever done on the Madden Voice has been personal, ever, and never will be. It's about football. So that's all I'm saying. And I take it on the chin, and I have taken it on the chin from both of you, mostly K-Star. But when you've been on your little bandwagon too, I take it on the chin. I take it. I'm like, all right, you got me this week. And then I come back next week.
I'm feeling very personal right now, guys. I just want you to know that.
It ain't nothing about it personal. That's all I'm saying. And I'm disappointed that Train would turn any of this into personal as long as we've known each other. And as many hours as we talk football, it's never personal, ever. So, we should be at a comfort zone where we know that this is 100% about the NFL and our views. And if anybody has backed Train and the Bears a number of times, it's been me. A number of times when people were doubting the Bears last year, what did I say? Watch out for that team before Cutler went down. It's not personal.
Dude, I'm not arguing any of that. You know what I'm saying? I even appreciate your support. I show the same because I'm a firm believer that Dallas is definitely a playoff team at the beginning of the season that's shown at the end of the season. So none of that even matters. It's just the statement to say it's kind of on the tail end of what did you pick last week? To me, it was like, okay, why even bring it up? What does me picking Houston have anything to do with me making my statement about Dallas?
I brought it up because we had a conversation about Houston and New England, and I said New England will beat Houston, and you said, no, they won't. And then we said, oh, guess what? We don't have to wait till the playoffs. They play in 2 weeks. And guess what? Not only did New England beat them, they whooped them, and Houston was 11-1. I just brought up to validate my point. That's all. That was it. That was my point. So, if you don't know,
you know what I think this is? I think this is stress that the playoffs are falling out of the side of Chicago Bears, that all of our teams right now are fighting for a playoff spot. This is playoff stress right now taking its toll on the Madden Voice, everybody. That's all this is.
We are. Of the three teams that we represent, I'm okay where I'm at. I am. I'm fine. Because my team is trending upwards. Both your teams are trending downwards. That's a fact. That's not personal. That's a fact. Can your teams both make the playoffs? Well, right now you're both sitting at the sixth seed. So you guys control your own destiny. Win out and you're in. But, you know, you've got a Pittsburgh team that's lost 3 out of 4. You've got a Bears team that's lost 4 out of 5. You've got a Dallas team that's won 4 out of 5. I'm okay where I'm at because we're trending in the right direction. So I'm fine. We may not make the playoffs. But you know what? Right now, winning 4 out of 5, we're putting ourselves in a very good position. So I'm fine. I really don't have any stress right now. See me after next Sunday's game. I might be singing a different song. But right now, I don't have any stress.
Big Ben and Troy P are on the way. I'd be a little stressed.
Whatever, man.
You know what I mean?
Bring a little minor league team into Dallas, man. Come on, man.
Minor league, I'm done.
Bring your minor league team into Dallas.
Man. Minor league team.
That's how y'all play in San Diego, man. That's how y'all play in San Diego, man.
Yeah, so we stay on track a bit. Next topic is Bears lose, Minnesota and Packers win. So NFC playoff update. NFC North. I guess that would definitely be my arena. I mean, I've already
let me just say this for a minute. Are you done being sensitive? Because your team's in trouble, and I want to hear you defend your team. So I don't want to hear no sensitive. I want you to talk football and tell me what's going on with your team, man. Because your team, what's up, man? You let Minnesota come in there and beat you, man.
I've already expressed my displeasure with Chicago. And this is like the greatest fear if you're a Bears fan because in perspective, you look at the games in the first half of the season, and we did play teams that you can look at this point of the season, they weren't very good. And Chicago dominated a lot of those games. But because they dominate those teams, and you look at the second half of the season, and you know they got the 49ers who were playing against, they got the Seahawks, they got Minnesota, Green Bay again. You look at it and you're like, okay, they're not going to dominate these teams, but these are definitely going to be some good games. Chicago should be able to pull out half of them. And yet Chicago is 4-5 against, you know, in the second half of the season with three games left and two of the games being division games, two of the games being away games, and one of the games being against the Packers. Now, the only good thing about the situation that Chicago is in right now is that they're 8-5. So, but that's not much of a cushion when you have four teams breathing down the neck at 7-6, and also to lose both tiebreakers to both the Seattle's, to the Seahawks, and to the 49ers. Mind you, Minnesota is also one of the 7-6 teams who are breathing down Chicago's neck. So they still hope they can rebound. They can very well win this game against the Packers because if they lose it, they can definitely be in jeopardy of not making the playoffs, let alone winning the division. Because the Packers win this game, the Packers get a division. Chicago win this game, then they have a chance to win, get in the division, and a chance to get into the playoffs. If they lose it, they have a chance of not making it to the playoffs. The only optimism that I have is that, you know, the team is capable of playing better than what it has showed within the past 5 weeks, even with the win over Minnesota. So, we lost team. So, it's just a matter of wait and see. I'm excited about us going up against the Packers. It's a game that I look forward to every season. I mean, the Packers have injuries. We have injuries. So, I mean, the team that plays mistake-free ball, better ball, that gets this game. Even though Detroit Killer did us a solid this weekend and went ahead and took out Green Bay, they just gave that game to him. Thank you, Detroit.
Yeah,
you got thoughts on the NFC North.
Let me ask you a question, sir. Can I ask you a question? You okay now? We good now? We all right? I can ask you a question.
I'm good, man.
We
great. All right.
I ask you a question. Do you think that, I mean, well, let me rephrase the question. I was going to come with it in a different way, but that's not what I want to say. With the way that you guys have been playing lately, what do you think your chances are? Now, I know you're home against the Packers, but I get the sense that the Packers are surging, you guys are tanking, and part of the reason is your defense is not getting – when your defense was getting turnovers and points off those turnovers, you guys were virtually unbeatable. And over the last few games, that hasn't been the case. And so what do you think your chances are if your defense still remains – you know, Urlacher is out. Is that correct?
So, if Chicago makes postseason, he's back. So,
okay. He's out against the Packers. So, my point is, if you guys aren't able to get points off of your turnovers like you were several games ago, what do you think your chances are against a surging Packers team?
Very small. I mean, Chicago thrives off defense. They can't. I've as long as I've been watching Chicago, I've never watched them win a game where only the offense dominated and the defense didn't do much of anything. The defense had to do something in order. Defense or special teams, on that matter, had to do something in order for Chicago
win a game. I haven't seen any offensive dominance for as long as I've been. So even now, with Green Bay coming to town, I mean, the focus is on stopping Aaron Rodgers, because I'm not sure if Clay Matthews is back, and I'm not sure if Charles Woodson is coming back out of check, but yeah, the focus will be, you know, the pressure on Aaron Rodgers. Defense creates some opportunities for him if he can take advantage. But at this point, the offense has to carry the team because the defense is going to be helping the Erlacher team. I think you explained earlier how middle linebacker is, you know, calls all the plays for the defense, and that's exactly what Erlacher does. He makes sure before snap everybody's in the right spot. Everybody's where they need to be. Everybody knows what they need to do on this play. Make sure they stop the offense, and without him, you can see the difference in the defense.
That Erlacher injury is pretty serious in this type of game. Especially since he typically makes plays against Aaron Rodgers. He's had a couple of diving interceptions, sideline tackles, big plays in the passing game, and to miss his presence is going to be possibly insurmountable. The Packers' offensive line, however, is trash. Aaron Rodgers gets sacked a lot. He's running for his life back there. Looks a little indecisive, not playing his best, but you know, the Packers are winning despite all that. So the Bears really are going to have to put a strong game together, but they're definitely in trouble. And I do believe from the Sunday night game, I believe they did state that Charles Woodson and or Clay Matthews will be back for this game. So it's not looking good, but you know, they're going to establish a run game to control the game, and that's really that simple, and hope to get a Charles Tillman, Peanut Tillman, a fumble, and just some rushes on Rodgers from Peppers. That's really the only option they have right now. It's looking rough.
I mean, yeah, we're going to do our picks, but, I mean, you know, it's amazing
this is it.
What happens in – well, it's amazing what happens in the NFL. I mean, a month ago, I'm sitting there, and, I mean, the Bears are the class of the NFC, in my opinion. I'm wondering who can beat this team. You know, they handed my team a bad whooping, you know, and Cutler's playing. You know, I'm sitting there. Cutler's on a high level. Marshall's the truth. Forte's the man. Peppers, Briggs, you know, Tillman, Erlacher. I'm like, yo, train, this team, back up. And a month later, I'm like, what happened? You know, and I'm not saying this is not a stab at train, because I know he's sitting there saying the same thing. You know, that's what I say. When it comes to who's honest about their teams, you know, there's one guy on this call that's kind of, you know, living in la-la land, but a couple other guys are kind of real about their team. But anyway, what I'm saying is, I you know, as a football person, I'm like, what the heck happened? And I'm you know, I don't have a lot of optimism right now about what I expect to see in this game. The Packers could run away with this game and make it ugly. That's what I'm feeling right now. This is definitely not a shot at you, Train. I'm just saying,
I've watched every single game once we got to the second, every single game this season, and I definitely paid more attention to the second half games of the season. If you start back from right after week 9 or so, when they start the second half of the season, the first game, you know, the first game was Houston. So you go up against Houston. We all said, you know, not so much you can tell from the game. It rained. Cutler didn't finish. Chicago lose a close one, 13-7. All right, it's in the bud. We go the next week, you know, we go again, and it's we face the 49ers, and we get pummeled. And I say, you know what? That's an anomaly. Chicago can bounce back. So they come back. We get the win against Minnesota, and then we first face the Seahawks. And I watched that game, and I watched Chicago just lose momentum in that, you know, just slowly in that game to the point where it was all Seahawks. And the defense had no clue what to do with them. And then the next game is against Minnesota, we're out. It's a lot of background noise. Someone has a lot of background noise. The next game is Minnesota, and it's a division game on top of that. And you watch Adrian Peterson be a one-man show to beat Chicago.
That's sickening. And he did it in one half. That's all they needed was one half. Chicago never found a way to recover. And so now with the powerhouse of our division coming into our house, dude, Aaron Rodgers will destroy you if you can't get to him. And the pass rush has disappeared. That's been one of the biggest problems with the defense in the second half of the season. No pass rush. It may be shell shock from Kaepernick or something. But
ever since then.
There's been no pass rush. So if there's no pass rush against Aaron Rodgers, it's going to be a very long day for the Bears and a very long day for Bears fans.
Yeah. Well, I appreciate your candor and your honesty. And, I think that this will come down to how much your team is ready to fight. And if history is our guide, you know, when the chips are down under Lovie Smith, when there's talent, and you guys certainly have the talent, your team will fight. And so it'll be interesting. If you guys can come out, make a fast start, you know, hopefully you can make it again. I think that's what you want to see, and I think that's what the country wants to see. I mean, to be honest with you, I should be rooting for the Packers because you guys are sitting in a wild card spot. My team's trying to get there.
Yeah.
It would benefit me to see you guys go down. But, you know, I guess we'll see what happens. I'm more thinking we can still get the division, to be honest with you. So I'm really looking at getting the division over these Giants. I really think, well, we talked about it, but I really think that this division is wide open and one game out and they got to play Atlanta and Baltimore. I'm really thinking like the Cowboys can sneak in. I'm not afraid of the Steelers. We'll talk about that. I'm definitely not afraid of the Saints. The offense is tight, but the Steelers, the Saints defense is porous. And I know we can beat Washington. I know we can beat Washington in Washington, especially if RG3 doesn't play, but we'll see.
Now, mind you,
Washington and Washington. I understand RG3 doesn't play, but if RG3 plays,
we've done it before. I mean, you act like we don't do that.
Yeah, you haven't beat RG3 yet. You played it one time. Man, it was a blowout. It was the best thing. Yeah, it absolutely was. You guys came back. You guys made a cube, but it was over a long time ago.
What was the score of the game?
I believe it was, 49-35, something like that.
You need to go do your research before you come talk to me, man.
Let's revisit things. You guys were getting blown out. You made a nice little second half comeback. It was cute. But you lost. What, RG3 had four touchdowns? Five? Four?
Did we get the first half game against the Redskins? That's all I'm asking. Did we get blown out in a game against the Redskins? Simple as that.
That's a box score. Yes.
I mean, which we also did against the Giants, and which we also did against the Ravens. So, what's your point? You have a point, or are you just talking rhetoric? Because that's really what you
said. I'm just trying to figure out why you think you could beat the Redskins like it's nothing and watch
because
that RG2 place.
We played them one game. I'm talking about the team. The Cowboys had beaten the Redskins in Washington a number of times. We played them one time. What, you think we're scared to go and watch?
That's a different Washington team on RG3. You know that.
Okay. So RG3 can't be beat? I mean, last
I'm not saying he can't be beat. What I'm saying, though, it's not a gimme.
Last I checked, they're 7-6, just like the Cowboys. So why all of a sudden are they like super team? They're 7-6. What's your point? We beat the Panthers. What? Don't they have an RG3 like quarterback and we beat them? So what? And in Carolina. So what's your point? The same Panthers team that just whooped up on the 11-1 Falcons and we beat them. What's your point? Don't come at me with rhetoric. Come at me with facts.
What I'm saying, you guys lost the first team in Dallas. I just think it's a little presumptuous to say that, you know, we'll take on the Redskins like it's nothing in Washington.
I didn't say – I said we
can – I feel like you poo-pooed them a little bit.
I said we can beat them. Why wouldn't I feel that way? Why shouldn't I feel that way? You haven't given me one reason to not feel that way other than your personal bias against the Cowboys. That's all you
we saw that first half, bro.
Last I checked, it's a 60-minute game. Is it? Is it,
Is it not a 60-minute game?
Lost the 60-minute game.
Okay,
so
did we not lose, were we not within 7-2 times, did we not lose by one touchdown? But you all of a sudden, that doesn't matter, because in K-Star's world, it's a 30-minute game, right? Thank God for you, it's not a 30-minute game, because I would hate to see what the score would have been against San Diego if it was a 30-minute game. Thank God for you that it is a 30-minute game.
Fair.
I mean, don't come to a gunfight with a freaking, you know, skateboard, bruh. You come at me with facts. 38-31, we lost to Washington. And if Dez Bryant catches that touchdown, it's a 4-point game. We were right there, is what I'm saying. Why would I be scared of that team? Why would I be scared of them when, yeah, they got up on us big, no doubt about it. Absolutely. 28-3 at the half. They were up on us. They were spanking us. But guess what? What did we do in the second half? Because it's a 60-minute game. Oh, I forgot about that. I'm K-Star. I only remember the first half.
The same, bro. That they pay the defenses that they called in the second half of the game. We'll see.
I'm just saying
it's going to be a tough game. Listen, the NFC
East. I didn't say it
wasn't
going to be a tough game. I'm just saying, why am I scared to go to Washington and play them when they have the same record as us and we lost by a touchdown? When we were down big and they should have put the foot through our neck and ended the game and couldn't do it because this team fought back and made it a game. That's all I'm saying. So why wouldn't I be confident? Of course I'm going to be confident. Train, what's next, man? It's this guy.
Well, the next is the NFC North. Steelers, Ravens, Bengals lose. Who wants this? Man, who really does want this division? All three of them are.
It's tough because my team sucks butt.
My team's going to destroy your team, first of all. But anyway, we'll get to that later. The Ravens, actually, they've been on a little down, so they lost two in a row. They actually fired their offensive coordinator, Cam Cameron, which, I never thought he was a very good offensive coordinator, but to do it 3 weeks before the season's end, to me, is more of a panic move than anything else. So they're kind of squandering out there. They have a tough game this week against Denver, so, they better watch out. Cincinnati, Pittsburgh, look, we all lost. I mean, we all got swept in the AFC North except for the Browns, but they don't matter. So, who knows? Who does want some more? We don't know right now. None of them acted like they really wanted it this past Sunday. I mean, again, I watched the game and I was disappointed. I was a very disappointed Pittsburgh fan on Sunday. But the Ravens right now have a 2-game advantage over the Steelers and the Bengals. That is absolute. Unless they lose to Denver, which I believe is very possible, clearly. They play Cincinnati week 17. So Cincinnati has a chance to take them out as well. It's going to come down to the last week of the season because Pittsburgh's going to beat Cincinnati. Washington. Baltimore, I believe, will be losing to Denver. And they still have to play at Cincinnati the last game of the season. So, it's a tough stretch, but no one's playing like they want it right now. Not this past Sunday. Not any of them.
It's just amazing that the disrespect that you're giving Baltimore. Yeah, I mean, like this 9-14 that has a 2-game lead on your team of scrubs, man. They're 9-4, bro. I mean, let's give them some level of credit. They're winning your division by 2 games with 3 games to go. You would love to be in that position. You would love the Steelers to be. If the Steelers was in that position right now, oh, my God, I wouldn't be able to shut you up. There'd be no way that the Steelers would blow a 2-game lead with 3 games to go. The Steelers would never blow a 2-game lead. I mean, that's all we would hear about. K-Star be smelling his own farts, talking about how good the Steelers are and how they would never blow a 2-game lead with 3 games to go. But when it's Baltimore, your arch nemesis, your rival, all of a sudden, they fired the offensive coordinator, and it's a panic move, and they got to play Denver. And, two out of the
last games. By the way, I'm glad Jim Caldwell got a job, too. Jim Caldwell is his replacement.
Yeah, Jim Caldwell's replacing Cam Cameron.
Yeah, did
did you not think that maybe part of the reason that they let go of Cam Cameron is because the arguably the best offensive player on that team over the last few games has just been not getting enough touches?
Yeah.
The guy is not.
I mean, yeah, that's why they made the move. Clearly.
So there's not a panic move. You're not doing the job, bro. We're not gonna lose this division because you're not gonna get Ray Rice the ball. Bye. You got to go.
Yeah, that should have been a long time ago.
And let's not forget that Jim Caldwell, offensive coordinator for the Colts under Dungy. Let's not forget Caldwell is largely responsible for Peyton Manning. And I was saying Peyton Manning wouldn't have been who is anyway. I'm not diminishing Peyton Manning. But all I'm saying is this guy knows how to deal with an elite quarterback because he was Peyton Manning's coordinator. So you don't think that Flacco's not sitting there saying, yeah, buddy, I got Peyton Manning's guy now. Okay?
Well,
this ain't a pain move. This is a good-ass move, man.
You said Caldwell is used to dealing with elite quarterbacks. I don't think Flacco knows how to feel right now. I feel like he might feel out of place.
I don't think Flacco is an elite quarterback, but I think Caldwell knows how to possibly – we will find out if Flacco can become elite now. If Caldwell can't make him one, it ain't going to happen, okay? Because you got one of the best in the business at dealing with quarterbacks, you know? So that's all I'm saying. You don't think Flacco's not sitting there licking his chops saying, yeah, buddy, let's go? Let's go. They've been trying to do the no huddle anyway. You know what I'm saying? So, I mean, don't. I know you Pittsburgh Steelers fan. I get it. You want to bury the Ravens, even though they got a two-game lead over you. You want to bury them. But I think this was a good move for that team. I don't think there's nothing. I think it was a strong move.
Well, I hope that Joe Flacco is looking at his chops to hand the ball to Ray Rice because that's why Cam Cameron got fired. So we'll see.
Well, I will say this. To be honest, man, the Ravens sitting up there at 9-4, that's a very good cushion. And even though when you look at the schedule is definitely tough with Denver, the Giants, and Cincinnati remaining. But, you know, Cincinnati still hasn't proven itself yet. And they got the one win over you guys. But the other way to prove themselves is also beat Baltimore.
Who's you guys? The Bengals didn't beat the Steelers. Why did I hear this twice in the show? They never beat the Steelers. So the Bengals didn't beat the Steelers. Don't say you guys like the Bengals beat the Steelers, like they proved themselves over us.
Didn't beat the Steelers?
No, the Steelers win and Cincinnati won early in the season. Why did everyone forget that?
Oh, yeah, I'm sorry. Yeah, so they still, you know, my bad. The Bengals still have to prove themselves in that division. I mean, to even beat either of you. So, I mean, it's just, with only three games left, it's definitely tough to catch them sitting at 9-4, especially with, the Steelers schedule is not as tough as far as strength of schedule, but still, you know, you're fighting against some tough teams with both Dallas and the Bengals.
Let's not dismiss Cleveland, who has a very good defense, as a, you know, they're 5-8. I mean, and believe it or not, they're still mathematically alive for the playoffs. Okay, so let's not just act like Cleveland all of a sudden doesn't exist now. Okay, they're 5-8, and they're a tough. We played them. They're tough. They're a tough team. So, you know, and that's a division game for Pittsburgh. So, I mean, there's no gimme games. Pittsburgh has no gimme games. Two division games, and they're coming to Dallas. So they got three tough games. They could win all three. They could lose all three. That's all I'm saying.
All right.
What's next?
Next topic. Houston, I know we touched on this before, but I guess basically, you know, best team in the AFC. Houston has a big loss against horrible loss against New England. So, best team in the AFC now, and you know whether or not Houston is involved.
I'm going to just say it again. I want my pats on the back because I'll take them off. I told y'all, I told everybody that Houston, their defense was not going to show up in a big game because I had no faith in Wade Phillips.
Okay? It's as simple as that. And last night was exactly like I called it. And Dr. Train hit me up on Twitter and gave me props and said, you were right. And even at that point, I said, I expect Houston to rebound, but they didn't. They were out of that game from the beginning to the end. It was a domination. It was a whooping. And if you looked at the defenses, you would think it was the Patriots that had the dominant defense, not the Texans. Their defense didn't even show up. And that's just what I'm talking about. They have all the talent in the world, but Wade Phillips in big games has not always shown up. And that's all I'm saying. And that's exactly what happened. And that's why I won't say Houston is a fraud, but I would say this. They have two games against the Colts, okay? And, and they got to play Minnesota. I'm telling everybody now, I don't think Houston ends the year as the number one seed. I believe Houston, they've already clinched a playoff spot. I don't even know if they're going to win that division. They got two games against Indianapolis. I just don't think Houston, and this was my problem when we did power rankings previously, Houston or Atlanta. I said, I don't believe in both of these teams, to be honest with you, but I got to respect their one-loss records. Well, they both went down this week, and I think Houston, of the two, is going to see more losses. Don't get me wrong. Arian Foster is the truth, okay? I got no beef there. And if they get the ball to Andre Johnson, he's the truth, okay? They do have some players on offense. J.J. Watt on defense, for real. They do have players. When I look at the team overall, I'm not sold. So those are my thoughts.
Here's my huge prediction on Houston. Houston will win the division. Houston will probably split against Indianapolis. I can see Indianapolis possibly taking one. Either way, they'll get a division. They're already in the playoffs. They will not. They will not get past the Patriots or Denver if they have to face either of those two in the playoffs. But my problem with Houston is this. I watched them get pummeled by Green Bay at the beginning of the season. And you're talking about a team that has a very good, Green Bay, very good quarterback. Not much of a run game, opportunistic defense, and they can create some turnovers and get more possessions for Aaron Rodgers. Well, they face a very similar team from the Patriots. It's Tom Brady, main man Tom Brady. I mean, the beast in his prime, Tom Brady, at home in five against a defense that hasn't been highly ranked all season long, but has picked up team in the second half of the season, and it looked like the same Houston team that got pummeled against Green Bay. And basically, my point is I saw no difference between the beginning of the season and now with Houston facing teams that have high-caliber quarterbacks and defenses that can make plays. So, with that said, moving to the playoffs, I don't see them getting past either Denver or Patriots. They need either of those teams in the playoffs. But they'll make it. I mean, they've already got the division. I think they'll get a division, so they're in the playoffs.
Yeah, I think they're going to win the division. They played Indianapolis twice. They definitely will split. I don't think they're necessarily fraudulent. I just think that I think they can play with anyone. I know they lost 5 million. Jesus, shit, that's annoying.
They got a lot of background noise.
I think that, they're not a fraudulent team to me because they can put up points. We didn't see it last night. I think that was more of an aberration than anything else. It was more of a fluke. Because Houston, all year we've seen him put points up, even in the 30s, 40s.
How can it be a fluke, though? I mean, how can it
only
be a
because
fluke? We saw the same thing against Green Bay. I mean, a fluke is once. Twice? Come on, man.
Did they put up 24 in Green Bay? It wasn't necessarily an offensive onslaught, but they were more than 7 points. I mean, they can score with anybody.
That 24 was mercy points, man. That 24 was, we'll let y'all get out of here with something so you can hold your heads up so you think you're okay. But Green Bay torched them. That game was
no, Green Bay. Green Bay whooped them as did New England. It was rough, but I'm not willing to sit here and say that now they're just done. I mean, they're 11-2. To me, they're not fraudulent because
they're going
to
make the playoffs.
Of course, the question is if they're fraudulent. I don't think they're fraudulent at all. I think they had a very bad game last night. But honestly, I wouldn't want to play Houston in the playoffs. That's a very good run game and a good offense. And that defense, up and down, hey, when they're up, it's tough. They're a tough team to beat. So I don't think they're fraudulent. But
I mean, this is my thing. In order to win in the playoffs, you got to beat the guys who have been doing it and have been doing it for years. Peyton Manning, Tom Brady have been doing it and doing it for years. And now, even with Peyton Manning, with Denver, that Denver defense is tougher than any defense Peyton Manning had with Indianapolis.
Absolutely.
And Tom, and I mean, we have just seen what Tom Brady can do. So, you know, it's not even a matter of repeating that. That's what they got to get past. Whether they fall at the number one, number two, number three seed, I don't care who home they go to. And God forbid they go to Denver, because that would be a storm. But they might end up back in Foxborough, same situation, against high caliber quarterbacks. They got defenses backing them up and can slice teams in half too. It's going to be tough for them. I don't see them getting. They're going to be right there where they were last year, just at the ceiling. That's it. They're not going to get past that. I don't see them getting past either of those teams. No, I was just going to say, you know, I'm comparing the style of play of Green Bay and the style of play of New England, and they are primary passing teams with very good quarterbacks, and I see Houston falter against both those teams, and that's exactly what they're going to see in the playoffs.
Let's just call it like it is. Okay, Houston's overrated. All right, they are the most overrated 11-2 team I've ever seen in my life. They beat Denver in week three. Okay, we already know what Peyton Manning was week three. Do you really think? And they only won 31-25. Do you really think that Peyton Manning is the same quarterback he was week three? Absolutely not. All right, let's look at the recent games of this team. They lost they won in overtime to Jacksonville, who scored 37 points on the vaunted Wade Phillips Texan defense. They won in overtime over a Detroit team, and they gave up 31 points to that team. They beat Tennessee, boo-hoo. Okay, fine, Tennessee sucks. And then they just got whooped by New England. This team ain't going anywhere. I'm sorry. Their signature win of the year was a whooping over Baltimore back in October. Congratulations. Great win. But that was 2 months ago. This team ain't going nowhere. They are not going to be able to beat Denver the way Denver's playing right now, and they're not going to be able to beat New England. And I'll tell you the truth, when I look at the playoff teams in the NFC, I mean AFC, I mean, you know, the only team right now, I'm sorry, K-Star, that they might be able to beat is the Steelers, and that's because y'all lent them. Y'all get healthy and Ben shows that he can play again, then I say y'all beat them too. You know, I don't see any of the – I'm looking at number two seed, New England. Number three seed, Denver. They're not going to beat New England or Denver. Number four seed, Baltimore. I don't know if they can beat Baltimore now. I just don't know. Number five seed, the Colts. Well, we're going to find out. They've got two games against the Colts, so we'll see how that plays out. And then they got the Steelers. I just don't think this team is, in my opinion, the most overrated 11-2 team in the history of the NFL. Great record. Can't knock it. You know, they're still in our power ranking, but I'm a non-believer. But listen, I'm going to jump in here and say that time is ticking. We're going to skip the NFC question and jump right to the NFL power rankings, because that will really answer where we stand. And the interesting part is all five of us are all five of the same teams, but we had them in a different order. So at number five, TMV NFL Power Rankings, at number five are the San Francisco 49ers, and that was unanimous, so number five. At number four, the Denver Broncos. At number three, the aforementioned Houston Texans. Number two, the Atlanta Falcons, and number one, the New England Patriots. Now, you know, let's be clear. I had Atlanta 1, Patriots 2. K-Star and Train both had the Patriots 1. I struggled with this decision. I struggled with, because my gut said with what I saw last night, to put the Patriots number 1. With the Patriots whooping up on Houston, and with Atlanta going down to Carolina, my gut said, my eye test said, put the Patriots number 1. So I don't have an issue with these guys putting the Patriots number 1. But I can't ignore that Atlanta is still 11-2. I just can't ignore it. I can't just knock them out and say you're no longer because you lost to a division opponent. At least Houston and New England are not in the same division, okay? That was just a good old-fashioned butt-kicking, but it's not a division game. Atlanta losing to Carolina is a division game. You know, granted, Carolina dominated them. The score doesn't really reflect the game. But, you know, I just couldn't penalize Atlanta like that and say I got to put the Patriots. I was close, but I couldn't do it personally. And then, to be honest with you, I really wanted to take Houston out of my top five. I was so disgusted with them. They didn't show me anything, but I left them at number three for me. Train had them at three as well. And, matter of fact, Train and I had the same three, four, and five teams. We just differed in one and two. K-Star had the same five as us, but then his one through four, you know, K-Star's from Mars. So he had the pass number one. K-Star had Denver at number two, Atlanta at number three, Houston at number four. I mean, you know, I don't see Denver as number two in the NFL right now, but I guess I can't argue because I think they won like seven games in a row. So.
Eight in a row right now.
Yeah, so I mean, this is one time I guess I can't even argue. But, you know, I will say this. Let me just look at this one more time because there was something with K-Star's ranking that kind of bugged me.
New England 1, Denver 2, 3, Falcons 4, Houston 5, San Fran.
Yeah, no, I'm looking at it. I know what you had. I'm looking at last week. Last week you had you flip-flopped Denver and Atlanta, but Atlanta lost. You had New England at 4 last week.
Mm-hmm.
And you now have New England at 1, and you had New England and Denver both 1. That's what it was. Yeah, how did you have Denver ahead of New England last week? They both win, but then you jump New England over Denver.
Just because Houston was my number one team pretty much all the season. You guys were with going to Atlanta as number one. I had Houston there. New England just destroyed the Texans. They, you know, the past few weeks, Denver and New England to me looked very good. I felt Denver's been better. However, I'm getting a slight edge to New England here simply because of the level of dominance they displayed over Houston to me was just amazingly impressive. The thing with New England is lately is, again, their defense. It's playing very well ever since they traded for Aqib Talib. And holding the Texans to 14.7 of the starters, to me, they had to put them there because I don't think anyone expected that. I think everyone expected a high-scoring game. Denver went into Oakland on Thursday night, handled business, but just the impressive just dominance of New England displayed to me just slightly over Denver there just because of who they beat, which was number one team all season, Houston.
And your number one team, Houston, loses, and they go from 1-4, and they're still 11-6.
They got blown out. It was disgusting. You just said you show having them in the top five.
Let's be clear. I had them go from 2-3. Okay. Mm-hmm. Train had them go from 2-3. You had them go from 1-4. That's all I'm saying. Because we had Atlanta number one last week. Okay. You've had Houston as your number one team for most of the year. They lose one game, you drop to 4. I'm just saying that.
Well,
as I said,
one reason,
time,
I mean,
your power rankings are just a little something right there, bro. Just a little something off. That's all I'm saying.
Let's be honest. Houston and Atlanta, you could flip flop them all season, obviously, because you guys had Atlanta there at one. No, I'm aware you did not, but let's look at it again. I mean, Atlanta, you know, they lost to a divisional opponent in Carolina, got kind of creamed a little bit. But, I mean, again, Houston got just dominated every single
matchup.
I can't.
Exactly. So the issue is you had the wrong team as number one. That's the issue. Let's call it like we see it. If you can drop them from 4 after one loss and you drop them from 1-4, then they probably shouldn't have been number one.
Well, New England, I think New England was 5th in my rankings last week. So, I mean, yeah. I think that's fair.
You had New England at 4 last week. And Yeah, exactly. So I think the integrity of the integrity of your rankings are in question. That's all I'm saying.
Because you probably would not have had Houston number one, and then you'd be all set. Should have listened to Train and I. We knew what we were talking about.
Yeah, Atlanta was really good against the Panthers.
But they lost to a division opponent. And we know how division games play out, okay? You can't give the same quality of loss to a division opponent because we know they play each other twice a year.
And that's why I have Atlanta ahead of them in this week. I say that I agree with that assessment.
This week. But every other week you had Houston ahead of them. That's all I'm saying.
Yeah.
That's all. All right.
It was 42-14.
I know. I saw the game. I'm the one who picked the Patriots. Who'd you pick?
That's what I thought.
All right. Let's move on to the highlight of the week. We finally get to unleash Steelers and Cowboys. K-Star versus Commissioner T. This is almost ain't even fair. I don't even know if I even want to do this, to be honest with you, Train. I mean, I've been eating this boy's lunch all night, and now I get to have dessert.
Man, y'all been giving away good stuff, man. I know y'all been arguing, like, certain points, but I was just like, stop giving it away. It's like having a fight before the fight. Like, dude, don't fight in the locker room.
It was just a weigh-in. Relax. It was a promo.
I mean, to me, really, we really have to have this discussion. I mean, can the Steelers beat the Cowboys? Of course, this is the NFL. Any team could beat anybody on any given day. But let's be honest. This team has lost 4 out of 5. Let's be honest. They just lost at home to the Chargers, team that's not going anywhere. Okay? Let's be honest. The Steelers are in disarray. They don't even know who's starting. They don't even know who's playing. Ben is still hurt. He's not Ben Roethlisberger. Okay? I have respect for Big Ben, but he's not Ben Roethlisberger. And the vaunted Steelers defense, are you kidding me? Where is it? I don't see it. It's not there. It's not on the field. Troy Polamalu? Really? I don't get it. Lamar Woodley's coming back. Big, fat, hairy deal. I'm supposed to be scared? I mean, this team, they're living off their track record of previous years. And I get it. Previous years, although last year, we know what happened to them in the playoffs. But my point is, over the years, this has been a dominant defense and a great team. 2 Super Bowl wins. You know, I get it. Okay, I get it. All right? But this year, this is not that team. They're 7-6. Last year, they were 12-4. With 3 games to go, they already have 2 more losses, and they're 2 games down in their division. And for some reason, they're supposed to be feared. We're supposed to be scared of them coming in to Dallas with the terrible fouls. Are you kidding me? Did you not see the brilliance that Tony Romo at quarterback last week against the Bengals? Did you not see DeMarco Murray running the ball like a stud? And Dez Bryant, who will play, who we just found out, has decided to play through his injury? Get out of here. And DeMarcus Ware, Anthony Spencer on defense, and that pass rush. And the Cowboys is a mass unit. Okay, let's get it twisted. Don't let K-Star come on here and talk to me about injuries, because pound for pound, he can't rank to what the Cowboys have for injuries. But we're still getting it done. 4 out of 5 wins. We're at home. We need this game. This team that we're playing, 3 out of 4 losses. They're going downhill. They don't have it. They can't do it. They're going to come into Dallas, and guess what? They're going down. I'm not even scared. I'm not even worried. And they better be ready to play. You better come correct. That's all I got to say.
All right. That was President Obama. Mitt Romney, yours.
Let me tell you something. Now, he is trying to confuse everyone, the story one, by saying 3 of the past 4, the Steelers have lost, which is true. But he's also trying to sit here and say that no one should fear the Steelers' defense with Troy and them, and that's ridiculous. The Steelers still, this season, are ranked 1st in total yards, 7th in scoring in the defense. Dallas is ranked 22nd in that category, and 11th in yards. So the Steelers are going to put up points because, I mean, you know what? My quarterback, the Steelers franchise quarterback versus Tony Romo, this is a mismatch here. I'll explain why. I mean, just this season, Ben Roethlisberger's played in 3 less games. It happens to have 20 touchdowns, just as many as Tony Romo does. That's ridiculous. How does that even happen? I'm not even sure.
What's his quarterback rating? Just wondering.
Do what?
Just wondering.
You know, Ben Roethlisberger's quarterback rating is 10 points higher than Tony Romo's. Stop it.
Yeah.
Yeah, it is. 98.6 to 88.5. Thank you. Now let me finish.
Yeah.
Stop it. Just
4,000 yards at 67%. But go ahead. I'm listening to you.
Good. Now listen. you're caught a big game quarterback coming in a big game situation. The Steelers need to win. The Steelers need to have it. We've seen this scenario. We've seen this script where the Steelers, again, are faced the must-win circumstance. The playoff lives are in jeopardy, as are the Dallas Cowboys. Who do you trust? Let me ask you guys, who do you trust? Do you trust Mr. Ben Roethlisberger in the situation, or do you trust Tony Romo? Do you trust that the Steelers' defense will make plays in this type of big game? Will Troy Polamalu in the third game back? Will Lamar Woodley coming back with James Harrison and that offensive and that going against that porous offensive line that's gotten Romo stacked and Mr. Turnover Tony for most of the season? You don't think that's going to happen?
Are you done?
Go ahead.
Let's remind you of the most recent game. Let's remind you of the most recent game against the Chargers, down 27-3. And how did you get down to 27-3? Because your franchise quarterback hit one of your top receivers in the back with a pass, and it turned into a touchdown. Ain't that a turnover? All I'm saying is, yeah, he's got 20 touchdowns and 5 interceptions. I'll give him that. And he's 7-6. With that type of performance, and he's still 7-6.
Well, he hasn't played 3 games. He missed 3 games. Let's not distort the facts.
The team is still 7-6. Are we lying? Am I lying? Is the team not 7-6?
He's been playing the last season. He hasn't been.
I didn't say. I said the team is still 7-6. That's all I'm saying. And what I'm saying to you is simply this. Who do you trust? You're absolutely right. Who do you trust between Big Ben and Tony Romo? When the chips are down, who's going to make a play? All right, I'm going to tell y'all who's going to make a play. It's going to be Tony Romo, baby. Tony's at home, okay? You're talking about Tony's got 16 interceptions. Well, 9 of those were in 2 games, okay? Even with 16 interceptions, he almost has a 90 quarterback rating. He has just shy of 4,000 yards, and he's throwing for 66%. With 16 interceptions, Dez Bryant's playing out of his mind. Miles Austin, Jason Witten, DeMarco Murray is back playing strong. What's going on the Steelers side of things? How's Mike Wallace doing? I thought AJ Green was the truth. A.J. Green for Cincinnati was the truth. He was held to 3 catches and 44 yards. What do you think we're going to do to Mike Wallace when he comes to town? What do you think Brandon Carr and Morris Claiborne, who will be back, had a face laceration. He's all right. He will be back. What do you think they're going to do to Mike Wallace and Antonio Brown? And do you guys even know who your starting running back is? And how healthy is Ben? Because when DeMarco Murray hits him or Anthony Spencer hits him, he don't even get up. I'm just telling it like it is. You're coming to town. You're 7-6. This is not your father's raised Steelers. Oh, yeah, and those Steelers, they were pretty doggone good. In the 70s, beat the Cowboys twice. We played 3 Super Bowls against this team, and they've won 2 out of 3. But this isn't your father's Steelers. Today's Steelers, 7-6. I don't even recognize this team, to be honest with you. I look at the 7-6. Bill Parcells said it best. You are what your record is. If we're average, so are they. I had to hear this guy's mouth all year about my Cowboys. Why are they even relevant? Well, then, guess what? Why are the Steelers relevant when they're 2 games behind the Ravens in their division? They're not relevant either. Okay? I'm in Dallas. I don't know where all that noise is coming from. Good mother. You're going to come into Dallas. And you're going to go home with your feelings hurt because the Cowboys are ready to play.
Well, again, wow. The Steelers pack a very good defense. You act like it's something that they haven't been playing all season. I understand they had a bad game with San Diego. But all season long, they've been playing very good defense. You don't get first in yards allowed.
You gave them 34 points. You lost to Cleveland. You split with Baltimore. You barely beat Kansas City. I mean, what are you talking about, very good defense? I'm wondering where this very good defense is. You're 7-6.
This is the same defense that shut down Eli Manning at home. This is the same, defense that's been playing good all season. Yes, you're right. They struggled against the Chargers. Big deal. It was a game. It was an aberration. It wasn't something that's been happening all season. You told the Kansas City game, they had, what, 7 points? Yeah, and we struggled with Byron Leftwich. I mean, you bring up the two of the three games, by the way, which I think is funny because they were not without Ben Roethlisberger. But look, Blager against Baltimore, they've been playing good. Like, you're taking this one game and acting like it's absolute. It's not. And you know what? You're going to get your feelings hurt when you do see that the Steelers aren't coming ready to play. Mike Tomlin, no, we're about to unleash hell, as Mike Tomlin would say. It is going down. I mean, when you look at the matchups of Ben Roethlisberger and Mike Tomlin versus Jason Garrett, Tony Romo, let me just tell you something. I feel pretty comfortable with that little arrangement right there. We'll take that.
Yeah. Funny that we didn't hear this. Okay, we didn't hear that.
I told the guys I appreciate the spirit and energy in which they fought. Please don't talk to me about moral victories and things of that nature. That'd be disrespectful to those guys in the room. We didn't get the job done. We came up short. We accept responsibility for that. You know, we will not go gently. We're going to unleash hell here in December because we have.
We didn't hear that. We didn't hear that. Because Mike Tomlin, for once, says, I don't know what to do. My team is starting to get healthy, and we got whooped by a team that ain't going anywhere. And now you got to go in Dallas and play a team that's surging, that's won 4 out of 5. 4 out of 5. A team that was pronounced dead on arrival, a team that people were saying has no chance, no shot, underachievers. Why are they on Sunday Night Football? That's what I heard from K-Star. 4 out of 5. And you got to come in town and face them. Beat your arch rival in their stadium. A game that no one thought they would win. You only picked them because you wanted them to win. You didn't pick them because you thought they would win. Let's just call it like it is. You picked them because you wanted them to beat the Bengals.
I gave you valid football reasons as to why they win. I did say that DeMarco Murray adds a huge element to their game and provides relief for Romo in the play-action offense. I didn't just act like that, you know.
And get ready because we're bringing that to your team.
And that's fine. Because the thing is, the Steelers play defense, contrary to your.
So, yeah. Yeah. All right.
Okay. After hearing both sides, as far as the debate is concerned, I'm going to have to give it to T. I need to be like tumbling with you when it comes to the Steelers K-Star. Now, I assume this is one of our games of the week, and I already know which way you guys are going. So, as far as my pick for this game, this is a tough one. Because on one side, you have a team that starts games slow, but finishes strong, and it's always a matter of will they lose the game by an inch, or by a yard, or by a missed field goal. You know, then on the other side, you have a team that we claimed once they got their starting quarterback back, it was going to be hard to beat them. But then they turn around and lose to a team that's going anywhere. So, with my pick, purely, I'm just going to have to go with the team that arrow is pointing up right now. And I'm going to pick Dallas for this week. I hate to go against Mike Cummings. But to me, the Steelers are, trust me, this is not an easy pick whatsoever. But I'm just picking a team that I've seen surge and finish, and regardless of how they started, they have finished hard in games, win or lose. The Steelers, I'm kind of caught because I expected to, once I saw Polamalu and everybody back, I expected to see more consistency on the defense, and it's not there. Now Big Ben is back, and I think he's still playing hurt. He's definitely not 100%, but he's playing hurt, you know, and he got to go up against a defense that's still able to make plays. But let alone it's Mike Tomlin's Steelers, and they do come to play. So it'll be a close game, but I think the Cowboys are edging this one out.
And let me add one thing that I didn't mention all night, and I should have mentioned. You know, the Cowboys had a very bad tragedy, okay? And we talked about it earlier in the night. And we saw, to me, All year, I had been waiting for Jason Garrett to be a leader of this team. He is now a leader of this team. He was at his finest moment leading this team in this game against Cincinnati, not just on the field, but off the field. We can only imagine what this team and last week with Kansas City had to face okay? We can only imagine. And Jason Garrett, by all accounts, was at his best. I think this is going to transfer positively for this team moving forward and how they respond to Jason Garrett and how they come together in light of this tragedy. I think this is, don't get me wrong, I'm not saying the tragedy was a good thing, but the shakeup could be what the Cowboys needed so that they don't start slow like they've done traditionally, so they can come out in the first half and be competitive. Because we don't want to go down to the Steelers 14-0, 17-0, 21-0. We don't want to do that. Although this team has done that to the Giants and to the Ravens and came back and been in position to win, this is not something that you want to continue to do.
Hey, let me say real quick, man. I just got a death threat. I just got an after school, I'm going to beat you up threat for picking a Cowboys. I like it. Dang.
Hey, we're all about death threats here for picking the Cowboys or Steelers. That's ridiculous.
Yeah. Wow. All I'll say is no one thought the Cowboys would go to Cincinnati and beat the Bengals. No one. No one. No one anywhere picked them to do that. No one. Okay? That's all I'm saying. All right? So, for anyone who's sitting out there listening to the Madden voice and thinks it's a ridiculous pick, why are you so afraid to pick against the Steelers? This is not your daddy's Steelers. They're 7-6. 7-6. In case you didn't realize, the Cowboys are 7-6. Okay? I'm not insane that the Cowboys at home won't beat the Steelers and the Saints. I don't get it. My team deserves more respect than that.
All right.
What did they say exactly, by the way? I'm just curious. What did they say in the chat room? I'm just curious about what you just referred to.
No, it's not in the chat room. It was a message via Facebook that says, "This is me and you," and there's a picture of me balling up in the corner against the wall after school with someone standing in the background with a fist balled up, ready to beat me as I was cowering down. About after school, so yeah. And then I got called a punk. So,
I like it. And you are a punk for picking against the Steelers. So let's put it out there. Let's get that in the public. You are a punk for picking against the Steelers. Okay.
Well, and then we have someone in the chat room who is trying to be another Madden voice name. I don't know who he is, but saying LOLing. I don't know
so hard. Yeah.
LOLing so hard at Dallas.
Yeah.
Good.
That's probably
K-Star's
cousin
and
like that.
And by the way, on another note, watch the Steelers fans take over this Dallas stuff. I mean, let me show you what real fans are. The Steelers fans are going to take over that stadium, by the way. I can't wait to see that. It's embarrassed all the Cowboy fans. The Steelers fans travel better than anyone else.
I don't want to rush this too much, but I got to get ready to head out the door here in a minute. So.
All right, let's get through our picks.
Yep. Packers and Bears. Well, you got to take. Go ahead.
I got to go with the Packers. Sorry, Trey.
It's okay.
Yeah.
Trust me, if I wasn't a Bears fan, I'd be picking the Packers. But I am a Bears fan, and this is our Super Bowl. Period.
Damn. Come to that point.
There's no playoffs without the win. I guarantee you. There's no playoffs if Chicago loses the game.
Yeah. I am picking Green Bay, saying that. Charles Woodson, Clay Matthews, they said Clay Matthews should be playing this Sunday. Brian Urlacher's not there. I just don't think that the Bears are sputtering. I just don't think they can handle without Urlacher against the Packers. It's hard enough to do it with him, so I got to go to Green Bay. Sorry, Trent.
Okay. And by the way, these picks, these games are courtesy of ESPN. These were the six games that ESPN thought were must-watch games, and I was watching, and I said, perfect, these are the games we're going to pick tonight. Colts at the Texans, this is a tough one because I just beat up on the Texans, but they're home. So because they're home, I'm going to go with the Texans, only because they're home. They're embarrassed. They're home and embarrassed. Okay, good.
I'm at the same reason. They're home. I,
I definitely think Indianapolis can split with them, but I think Indianapolis will get them at home. So, Texans here.
I'm going Houston at home. Just got embarrassed. Looking to make a point against the Colts. I got to go with Texans. I think we'll run all over them.
Okay. Giants at the Falcons. Oh, my goodness. Man. Train, you go first. Man, I got to think about this one.
I'm going to roll with the Giants here. The one thing the Falcons would do all year was bring on that run game, and they haven't, and they won't have it against the Giants, and that's going to hurt them because you need to be able to run the football and nullify the strength of their defense. So, move with the Giants here.
Okay, Star. I'm going with the G-Men. The weakness of the Falcons is their pass protecting offensive line. The Panthers got after Matt Ryan. They were awful that first half. They had like 80 total yards of offense. I think Pierre Paul talked OC get after him. I think that they made quite a bit of plays. And watch out for David Wilson. That guy's explosive at running back, filling in a little bit for Bradshaw when he's being spelled out there. I like Giants.
I'm going to go ahead and go with Atlanta. Of course, I'm rooting for Atlanta anyway, so I might as well pick Atlanta. You know, they're home. They're very difficult to beat at home, number one. They just came off a tough loss to Carolina. And I think this is, you know, they're one of the winningest teams in the regular season over the last four seasons. I think this is a statement game for them to show that they are a player, that they are a contender. I think they're going to come to play. I think the Giants' secondary is suspect at best, and I think that the Falcons are going to exploit it. I don't think they have to run. I'd love for them to run a ball because I need points for Michael Turner. But that said, I don't think they have to. I think they're going to throw the ball and exploit the Giants' secondary, so I'm going to go with the Falcons. We'll start with K-Star on this one, and I know who he's going to pick. Broncos at the Ravens.
Yeah, let me get Peyton Manning, the Broncos. I don't really need to explain this one.
Okay. Train?
K-Star, you said Broncos on this one?
Yes.
Yeah, I'm going to go with the Broncos, man. Ravens, the Broncos are up there right now.
Oh, man. I'm going to go against the grain, and I'm going to say the Ravens at home because the Ravens are tough to beat at home. And I think the Broncos overall are a better team. But, again, I think the Ravens are going to want to – I think this is going to be a week for statements. This is going to be a week for teams that want to step up and prove that they belong. And I think that the Texans, the Falcons, and also the Ravens, all at home, this is their week to prove, no, we deserve to be in the elite here. So I'm going to go ahead and go against the grain and go with the Ravens.
Mm. All
right. Okay, so you did say the Giants, right?
Yes.
Okay, just make sure I'm writing it down. Oh, go ahead.
All right. Last but not least, 49ers at the Patriots. another very, very good game. You know, Kaepernick certainly another dimension into this game. If it was Alex Smith, slam dunk Patriots. Kaepernick's got me concerned. That mobility and agility that he brings, I don't know if the Patriots are ready for that. But Tom Brady, what more can I say? At home, I'm going to go ahead and go with the Patriots.
Yeah, I'm not stupid enough to go against the Patriots two times in a row at home. Seriously, like the way they're playing right now, I'm going to New England in December when they're rolling. I learned my lesson.
I did okay, Star. Not enough against the Patriots again. At home, I'm sorry. 49ers would probably give a better game, but still.
Yeah, you guys didn't want to come back and get. They don't want to hear my mouth next week, so I don't blame you. All right, we reached the end of the Madden Voice. We went long tonight because we had a lot to cover. I didn't do a show on Friday. I do plan to do one this Friday. So I got a lot of messages. Where are you? And I apologize. I just couldn't get to doing a show. So, but we will be back this Friday, lunchtime, Lunch with Commish T. And we will take this one step further and go a little bit deeper into some of the games, take a look at the Thursday night game, and take a second look at the key matchups and whatever news developments that we have in the NFL. What's the status on Dez Bryant and RG3 and some of the other injuries around the league? So check me out, 12 o'clock noon Eastern Standard Time. Lunch with – somebody got to mute themselves here. Thank you. Lunch with Commissioner T. Friday noon Eastern Standard Time. Check us out on Facebook. Check us out on Twitter. And listen, we need to get K-Star to host. So, guys, send some messages out asking K-Star to host so we can put some pressure on them. We're tired of doing all the hosting.
I'll host, you know what? I'll host the show to see who's win. How about that?
I guess he won't be hosting next Tuesday. So, anyway.
I'll be hosting. Ladies and gentlemen, I'll be hosting next Tuesday night. That's going down.
Wow.
The Steelers win.
All right. If the Steelers win, K-Star hosts. Oh, well. That was a good thought while it lasted. All right.
Wow.
For K-Star, for Dr. Train, for all the listeners, thank you for your support. We appreciate it. Enjoy the games this week. Jamie, we didn't even get to do a fantasy update. I lost. I'm out in the EAFL. There will be a new champion in the EAFL this year. Commissioner T has gone down. Drew Brees let me down with only 16 points to Eli Manning's 30, and I lost by 10, and I'm not happy about it, not even a little bit. I'm a little irritated. I picked Pittsburgh as my defense instead of Dallas, and Pittsburgh gave me 0 points. It was just disgusting. So I lose. I'm out. I will not be a repeating two-time champion. But I have a first-round bye in the other league, so it's my turn to go over there and get a ring. So anyway, with that said, thank you, Train. Thank you, K-Star. Thank you, Madden Voice Nation. We'll see you Friday at noon, Eastern Standard Time. Remember, all of these feuds ultimately are settled on the field. Good night, everybody.